the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
I apologise, rock and roll fans. That was not the original Rock and Roll All Night Party Every Day by Kiss. That was one of the songs they re-recorded in the early 2000s, and I can only apologise. Good evening, the late night alternative. My name is Ian Lee. Oh, and look what the cat's dragged in.
Meow.
It's Catherine Boyle. She's a lady.
No.
A really shitty, smelly, ugly lady.
That's just rude.
Nice to have you back.
Apparently.
Get a piece of that pie.
How's your hands off my pie.
How do they, why do they do that thing? I nearly did that thing they do in radio where obviously Kath came back from holiday last Thursday. I've spoken to her. I saw her today. Her kids and my kids met for the first time and it was Moida. And we've been sat in the office for the last 3 hours and I was about to do the, so how was your holiday? I know how her holiday was. She told me about it already.
Sweaty, lazy, boozy.
Dirty. that's weird, isn't it? That kind of, first of all, it's very easy to fall into those lazy radio and TV tropes because it's what we see all the time. But that weird kind of, so Kath is back after a week and a half away. Kath, how was your holiday? Nice break? I know. I spoke to her about it last week. I'm bored of it. It's really sad. Sorry. It's not
my boring stories.
Can I say on the radio? By the way, 03444991000, if you want to give us a call. I've literally got nothing planned tonight, but I do know Alan's going to be up. Morning, Alan.
Hi, Mark.
There we go. something's never changed. We'll go to Alan in a bit. We literally got nothing planned. Kath, I got in about 6:30. I got in early, and Kath got in about 7:30. And I said, I don't want to do any prep for the show. You're watching on Periscope. This is my blank bit. But I said, I don't want to do any prep for the show. Not read any stories. I've just realized that all the windows I had open on my computer from last week have closed down. So I've literally got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we're just going to sit here and we're going to chat. You is welcome to call in 0344-499-1000. Free call for most of you. We call you back anyway. So it's pennies. You can call in about anything. But can I said something to you while you're on holiday, which could have been interpreted as being rude.
Yeah.
Can I say it on the radio? Oh, by the way, Kath isn't wearing any pants today.
Got white trousers on. So sometimes you just have to go.
That's a risk I would not be prepared to take.
Why?
Though.
Oh no, you can't.
That's
not with that.
That's a risk I would not be prepared
not
to take.
With that problem you got going on there.
Your holiday was at a holiday resort.
Mm-hmm. It was an all-inclusive
in Greece
holiday complex.
Is Corfu Greek, is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Didn't you?
Where's Samoa? Is that near New Zealand?
Samoa.
Or is it near Hawaii?
It's
okay. We'll talk about Fast and the Furious.
It's a Polynesian island.
Okay. Well, I don't know where that is. Where's Polynesia?
I think it is near Hawaii.
I initially thought it was near Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Then I thought it was near New Zealand, mate.
That's Fiji you're thinking of.
I've got a joke. I knew there was a joke there. I've got a joke.
Brilliant.
I'll do it. Right.
Let's so
you've
the
got to ask me.
They're always the best jokes.
You've got to ask me. You say, so where's Polynesia? She got me right in the balls.
Huh?
That's where Polynesia need me. Say it again.
Polynesia?
Don't say it like that.
Well,
say it properly.
I have to, really.
Say it properly.
So where's Polynesia?
Right in the balls. I don't know what I did to upset her. Polly, that is. And she needs me. Polly, she needs me. That's a good joke. It's a good joke. It's a bit funny.
It's a shame you missed Edinburgh, because
okay,
they like those.
Okay, here we go. Here come the digs.
Hey.
So your holiday was an all-inclusive.
Yeah.
In a holiday resort.
Yep.
In a foreign country.
Yes.
How many wonderful museums,
none,
galleries, streets?
None.
She said, and this is not a dig, and this is not like a snobby dig, right? But, I don't understand a holiday.
No.
Where all you do, and again, this sounds snobby, and I don't mean it to, right? But all you did was sit by the pool all day, then go and watch some weird show.
I didn't watch the shows. They were on.
You didn't even watch the shows?
No, I watched a couple.
Wow!
But they were just incidental, really. A lot of people were there early doors to take their seats right at the front and stop the children from being able to see. But
the thing is as well, I bet there were
too many people.
Actually, I've been to worse places. We could always get a sunbed.
Wow.
But they were doing that thing of this breaking the law by getting in early and putting the towels on. You're not supposed
this is
to do
what
that.
I would like to say about your holiday.
Mm. Don't be so silly, Kath.
I don't understand it. How did you not go mad after, like, day two? A day of that, I'd dig.
Right. Well, here's the difference. Okay.
Yes.
I'm
an intelligent man, and I just can't stop thinking. And you're Kath.
I don't get very much chance to do bugger all.
Right, yep.
There's the difference between you and I. You do get a chance to do bugger all sometimes and not talk to anyone if you don't want to.
That's true.
I don't.
Okay.
So, with the children in the pool...
And I know the kids would love that, of course.
Yeah.
Of course, because...
What, me not talking to them?
Well, no. But kids with a great pool...
And a massive inflatable
wonderful.
Avocado.
I get that.
So, yeah, they were on that. They were in and out of the pool. They made some little holiday friendships. We were all minding our own business.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of lying down next to the pool from my point of view. Because I, you know, I dip in and out of the pool, but I'm not a massive swimmer. And you couldn't really because there's too many
like being
games
wet.
Going on.
I don't like being wet. Do you like being wet?
I like being... Tell you when I do like being wet.
Yeah.
When it's dead sweaty otherwise. Because I'd lie by the pool for a bit and then it would get uncomfortable and I'd go for a dip and then out again and carry on reading my book.
Mm.
Which, by the way, was The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F.
Which we've talked about on this show.
Turns out I knew a lot of it already.
Great book.
But there were actually some brilliant bits and some bits I think helped me with a later breakthrough.
Catherine's had a breakthrough.
I have.
Which we're going to talk about probably, we'll probably talk about later in the
show. You thought I was the sensible one. Turns out I'm nuts too.
See, I've run out of stuff to be nuts about, right? Because that is all out there now.
Turns out I've been sitting on a big one.
So season five, Kath goes bonkers.
Then we're all in trouble. Yes,
that's how it works. Literally have nothing planned. I've not seen the news today. I don't think there is any news on a bank holiday. And traditionally, on bank holiday shows, you don't get that many phone calls. So give us a call. Otherwise, it's just us chatting. 03-44-499-1000 is the telephone number. Open your
These
bottle.
These are very squeaky bottles, aren't they?
They are very squeaky bottles.
Love it.
You can give us a call over absolutely anything you want. Let's go to Leon. Good evening, Leon.
Oh, hello. Hi.
It's Leon the Inventor.
Of course it is.
First of all, I just wanted to apologise for not, I've been kind of slack on the inventing front. And I heard that you were possibly looking for inventions this evening, and I've got one that's in a little bit of a different direction.
Hang on, who told you that?
Well, I was filling in the words between, when your radio programme started, and there was a sentence that you didn't strictly say it, but I kind of thought that
you read between the lines and you heard, and may God bless you, Leon, you heard we were looking for inventions. We're always looking for inventions.
We're very into innovations.
Yeah. No, he said inventions.
Well, and completely. The same.
Do you remember, wasn't there a shop called Innovations?
Yeah.
And they sold like...
Gadgets.
Like
those key rings.
And like a flying, flying slipper and stuff.
What?
We went to get this, Leon. Where I live, right? There's a swimming pool nearby, and we go to the swim pool. It's great. And we went on Saturday because they have family swim, and we went on Sunday because they have family swim. And what is great about this swimming pool? Speaking of Innovations, the Stevie Wonder Innovations.
It's a great album.
Is you take your shoes off before you go into the changing rooms. So you pay, then there's a little hallway and you take your shoes off and leave them there and then you go into the changing rooms. It's great, mm-hmm. right? It is great.
Is there one of them mucky foot baths?
No, they don't do that anymore.
Good.
Because someone, I think, died of foot AIDS in the 90s. So they take your shoes off, right? So I took my trainers off, the boys took their trainers off and they put them there. Here's the thing. So there's trainers, there's sandals, there's all these different kinds of shoes. There were a pair of slippers there. Someone had gone to the swimming baths in a pair of slippers.
I'm thinking,
that makes sense.
I've been to a friend's in my slippers and pyjamas, actually.
Do you do the school run in your pyjamas and slippers?
Well.
Wow.
Not my slippers.
Wow.
But I do sometimes. In the winter, I'll put my jeans on over the top of my jammies if I'm intending to go back to bed. I mean, what's the point?
I've been to the shops in my slippers, and I've driven in my slippers.
I've not been out in my slippers, mostly because when I was a kid, my family used to refer that to that as the Salford Shuffle.
Oh.
Because you'd see old ladies shuffling round Salford Precinct in their slippers. And we thought we were better than them. It turns out they were right.
Here's a cheery thought, Leon. Catherine, you know all the old people that you saw when you were a kid?
They were our age, weren't they?
No, what?
They were like our age now.
Oh, I was going to say they're all dead.
Oh, blimey.
Leon, tell us about this invention. I've missed you so much, Catherine. I've missed you so. It's so nice to have you back. Go on, mate. What have we got?
It's nothing to do with slippers. But it's not really an invention. It's a, I guess, a creative avenue. I thought it would be nice to make a soap, not necessarily one for television, just one for pleasure. And
I think they're supposed to be fun too.
You wouldn't know about watching them.
No.
Yes, Leon, continue.
Well, I don't know how you go about making a soap, so I thought I could just bump into people and they could be in my soap. And maybe I'd remember what they say, or maybe I'd video them saying stuff.
Yeah.
And then they'd collect all the bits and stitch it together in a story of, I guess I would be the story editor.
Yeah.
Which is a bit, well, I guess that's the inventor's role for a creative.
I think you're confusing inventor with producer stroke director, but I like that.
It's all good. Here's how I would tackle this, and you'll probably do it better. I would go up to them and I'd say, what's the most dramatic thing that's happened to you this week? And get them to tell you the story.
Ah, okay.
How did you see it then?
Leon is obviously disgusted by that obviously ridiculous suggestion, but I'll let him tell you why it's so ridiculous. Leon.
I'm not going to rubbish that. I think dramatic things are good, but also reality is sometimes very, very
mundane, yeah.
Which is beautiful, and I thought perhaps that could play an important role, but...
What's the most boring thing that's happened to you this week?
No, but...
Call me now.
Four,
you already
four.
Did.
No, stop it! There you go.
No, not you,
I've
Leon.
I've not missed you, actually.
I mean, everyone else.
I've not... Everyone thinks of me as the bad guy, but I think everyone of the last 2 weeks thought I'm actually the nice guy, and you're the B1TCH.
Finally, I've been unmasked.
I think it's a great idea, Leon. You just go out and do it.
Okay, thanks. Thanks to you both for the positivity and the dramatic suggestion.
Thank you, Leon. The positivity comes from me.
I actually love you, Leon.
Bad vibes. 03444991000. We've got Ian, we've got James Barry from Oxfordshire calling in.
Very specific.
And we've got Alan Caddick. Have we still got you, Cads?
I'm here.
Sounding grumpier by the minute. I like it. Let's see if we let's poke this bee's nest. What do they call a bee's nest these days? A hive?
A hive, yeah.
A hive. No, that's rabbits. No, it's foxes. That's a hide. 0344, educational. 0344.
No, they have a set.
Of rules, yes, for when they go in the hide to make sure it stays tidy. 0344 499 1000. You should be watching this show on Periscope. I'm not saying periscope.tv/Ian Lee, but please don't tell all the bosses. I think this show's coming to an end in March anyway. But anyway, that's by the by. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03444991000 is the telephone number. Catherine, can I introduce you to a good friend of the show? It's Mr. James Berry from Oxfordshire. Good evening, Mr. Berry.
Hello, James.
Oh, no, hang on. Let me try that again. I'm so sorry. I've been off since Thursday. Not including Thursday. Mm-hmm. Good evening, Mr. Berry.
Hello, Ian.
Hello, James.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
I can too.
Brilliant. A bit nervous, really, because I don't really ring up these sort of things.
You should be nervous, because we have your family hostage, and if you mess this up, they're dead.
Terrible. What a terrible thing to say.
Daddy, please.
Yeah, you can't say that, because I know they're here, because they'll knock me out.
Oh, there we go. All right. Go on, James. It's not a great line, so what can we do for you on this holiest of Mondays?
I thought I'd... Up, really, because me and my missus, we listen to you every single night.
Thank you.
We both think you're brilliant. We think you're hilarious.
But
I know you take a lot of stick.
Take a lot of what?
Sticks.
Okay, yeah, it's sticks. Dropped out just that they take a lot of sticks. All right. It's been a while, but go on.
But I think you're brilliant. I think you're really funny. We love listening to you. You do make us laugh all the time, especially when we're trying to get to sleep. It's not very helpful.
And
but
you know the best way for you to end this phone call is to go, and Ian's not bad either.
Oh, dear.
Well, thank you, James. You sound far too sensible to be listening to this rubbish.
And he's gone.
James? James Berry?
Yeah, hello.
Your phone signal's worse than Nigel's from Maidstone's.
I mean,
it is. Oh, dreadful, isn't it? Dreadful. My missus used to listen to LBC.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
To help her get to sleep, and she found it really boring because all they talk about was Brexit.
Yes.
So then she found this one, and then she started listening. She loved it. And she actually shares her birthday with yours, and she sent you a happy birthday message on Facebook, and because you liked it, it made her absolute day.
Hey, your wife sounds like a classy lady.
She is. She's brilliant. If you could say hello to her, she'll be listening. You'll put a smile on her face.
How do I know that this isn't some secret assassination code, and I say this, and the French president gets killed?
No, it's fine. Her name's Penny.
Penny?
Penny, yeah, as in gold penny or...
Penny Berry.
Penny. Or Penny Chew?
Penny Crayon.
Penny Blenge? Do you still have that Penny Blenge? That's not from my school, but do you ever used to do a Penny Scramble? Not with your missus, with a penny. Where do you ever used to do this, James? You sound about 43, am I right?
You're bang on there.
Your phone dropped out. Are you 43?
Yes,
man, I can do it. Kathy's amazed every time. Right, but you're of a similar vintage, a little bit younger, but what we would do in the 70s and 80s, if someone had like a penny or tuppence, which was money then, or a halfpenny, they would go around and do a penny scramble, and they'd go and stand in the playground on like a wall and go, scramble! And they would toss the coin as far as they could, and there'd be like 300 kids would try and get this penny.
Yeah, we used to play that.
What did you call it, James?
I think it was called Penny Scramble, yeah.
What did you do, Kat?
No.
You never did a Penny Scramble?
The mean boys where I went to school used to glue them to the floor and see and laugh at whoever tried to pick it up.
Oh, we never did that. We weren't that clever. Penny Scramble. And you do it with a halfpenny, right? This is how old I am. With a halfpenny. 200-300 kids would all fight for a halfpenny piece. Penny Scramble! Incredible scenes. Penny, it's lovely. I would never do a scramble with you, Penny. I would not want to, toss Penny in a playground. That would be...
inappropriate.
That sounds worse than I meant it to, you mucky-minded pups. Hey, James, it's nice to talk to you, man. Thank you for listening to us and all hail the death of LBC. Long may it continue. And thank you, Penny. 03444991000. We don't normally do shout-outs, but it's a bank holiday Monday. I'm up for doing it.
And it's Penny.
It's Penny. Famous pennies famous pennies in popular culture.
Penny Smith.
Okay, all right. This is the phone in. Penny Smith. Wasn't there a kids show? Penny Crayon. What was her?
Can draw anything she wishes.
All right, no need to sing it, mate. You just tell me.
Penny
and Me, the song by Hanson.
Mm-hmm.
Penny Whistle. I'm just writing Penny every time.
Penny Lane.
Oh, this is a great one. 0344.
What about For Your Thoughts?
1000. There we go. There we go. Penny. Spender. Spender Penny. this is great. This is the best thing I've ever done.
Is this still what I do for a living?
This is why we won't be here in March. We don't know that. I met people saying, well, he's only joking about March. I've just had a real vibe that we may not be here when...
Penny pot.
Penny pot? What's a penny pot?
It's where you put your pennies.
03444991000. Good evening, Ian.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm very, very, very well, Ian. What have you got for us?
Penny Dreadful for a start.
Oh, yeah.
Penny what?
Penny Dreadful.
Okay, yeah, Penny Dreadful. Yeah, love that. That's on the list. What a list.
No, it's true. I've been listening to your show for the last 3 years. It's great. You and Kat are just the best thing on radio.
Thank you, mate. But...
every time.
There was a freaky thing. Listened to you all week last week, and...
You didn't notice Kat was gone. That's how good I am.
No, well, Kath was really good on her own, actually.
She wasn't she brilliant? All joking aside, she was. I listened to quite a lot of it when I was in Rome. She was brilliant.
Seriously carrying you, man.
Totally, you know it.
Sorry, what did he say?
Nothing.
What did he say?
Nothing. He said that they really missed you.
Did he say that you're carrying me? I've just been nice about you mm-hmm. and paid you an honest, open compliment. And this pervert that spells his name wrong, and he's only upset because last week Tina, his missus, phoned up and she was yay close to running away with me. Yay close. That's what this is about.
Of course it is.
Tina loves me, Tina needs me, Tina wants to please and tease me. Tina, my love, leave that loser who can't spell his name right.
Well, if that doesn't get nothing, Will.
I'm gonna treat you right tonight. I'm gonna sort you out so fine.
Sort you out? Flipping it, mate.
So let's continue, Ian, please. Continue.
Well, actually, closer than you think, because we saw you Sunday at a car boot sale.
I said hello to you.
Lots of people said hello to me at that car boot sale, Tina, because I'm a big star. Actually, only three people did say hello to me. So which one were you?
We were two of them.
Who were you?
I said, hi, Ian, and you went, hi, how you doing?
Oh, God, that was you. Right, I remember this exactly, because I said it in a really friendly way, didn't I?
You did?
Yeah, and then my boys went, because I was with my boys at a car boot sale, and they said, you prompted the best conversation, you two, thank you. So this woman says, hello, Ian. I went, oh, all right, nice to see you. And then we went on, and my youngest said, did you know them? And I said, no, I haven't got a clue. But I've got really bad memory, and I can't remember if I've met people or not. So I might have met them before. I don't know. So it's easier for me, instead of going, oh, hello, who are you? I pretend, whenever anyone says hello to me, I pretend I've met them. Because it's easier just to go, oh, hi, nice to see you.
Otherwise, you have to say, new memory, who dis?
Yeah, exactly, right? So me and my boys, I remember you. We were looking at a stall and then we walked past. How funny. What goodies did you get at that car boot?
Well, I bought some, I noticed you had some as well, but I bought some 1970s annuals.
Yeah, got some annuals. A bit pricey. We paid like a quid for each of those annuals.
Yeah, but I think I paid something like that. I had an old Sparky one from 1974.
We got a stash of about 40 Beanos for £4.
Wow.
Enter the Dragon for a quid. We got, yeah, sounds exactly. Like we got Scribble Noughts, the Xbox game for £10. And I got a load of old pornos for fiver. I didn't. That was
no,
a
you
joke.
Didn't have to pay for them. You found them in the bush.
Yay! But why did
you don't find them anymore, do you?
No, because people go on phones.
Why didn't you say to me, I'm that pervert Ian who spells his name wrong, and this is why didn't you introduce yourselves?
Because Ian told me not to talk to you because you were with your children. So we thought it'd be rude.
Oh.
Oh, well, hang on. You still spoke to me.
Defied him.
Hi. He said, can I come back to your farm? But I didn't.
I did. Here's the thing.
Yeah,
I
that would have been a difficult conversation.
I got a real vibe from this mysterious woman who I now know is Tina, who's potentially going to leave her husband. Got a real vibe of lust
unspoken
and lust for life.
Lust,
unspoken lust. And the bloke she was with, I got this real vibe of emptiness, patheticness, sadness, wasted life, tiny
jealousy.
Penis, jealousy, all of those things. And
well, you really read people, can't you?
Yeah, I read. It was good, that car boot, actually. I dragged the boys along and they went, we don't want to go. And then, of course, we bought loads of rubbish for them.
It was freaky. Yeah, it was just freaky because we asked you to listen to the show every night. It's really, really funny. And then Tina said, I should, because you know, you do that thing where you think, do you know what I should have said?
Yeah.
My first thought was, oh, they're selling strawberries over there, which is kind of lame, but it was
Jesus. Jesus, this guy wants a punch in the throat. Strawberry jokes.
If you'd have asked who she was, she would have said her name was Chardonnay.
Chardonnay. For those who missed last week's show, Chardonnay called me up to harangue me for being rude to a caller.
And then,
yeah, when I wouldn't apologise, she said, I'll get lost, you see, and slammed the phone down on me. aren't they?
Sounds like she liked you.
I think she did. Oh, well, it was, well, isn't that funny? Okay, well, that's so nice. You should, next time, hey, listen, I don't, if people come and say hello when the kids are there, I don't mind it. It mortifies the boys. They find it so embarrassing, which means I'm doing a great job. You know, as long as you, you know, you don't bother, you know, it's like 2 minutes and we're done. You always come and say hello to me and introduce you. If you're listeners to the show, always come and, actually, forget those kids. They get on my nerves, so I'd rather hang out with
actually,
you lot.
They need to see that you're the famous guy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's worn off a bit. They think I'm a nobody now. Well, it was very nice to meet you briefly.
If someone with a really empty life comes up to you, they're going to think you're kind of sad, so maybe I should avoid it.
Well, okay, I'm going to cut this guy off, but Tina, the offer is still open as long as you are. I don't mean it like that.
What? No.
Oh, Pete, my God. I need to check Pete's line, because Pete's line might not be working. Pete, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Yes, Pete's live!
He's over-modding.
Okay, he's calling us from a foreign country.
Well, how dare he?
He's in Edinburgh, so the lines might not be quite as good.
Yep.
Pete, you're live at the Edinburgh Festival, and I'm guessing it's the last day today, if it's not wound down already.
Yeah, it's the final day. Some shows stopped Saturday, some yesterday, and the final bunch today.
Well, here's the thing. If they're not doing a show today, they ain't never going to make it in this business. No. Have you really seen about 60 shows?
No, I've seen 84 shows.
Bloody hell, this guy's the most cultured person we've ever had on the show.
What do you win?
He's one of our listeners.
What do you win for that level of sustained entertainment?
Sleep.
Okay.
How much? How are you rich?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
I took redundancy in July.
Oh, he's cashing that in. Oh, baby. Baby.
This has certainly cost me more than I expected it would, but never mind.
How long have you been up there for?
A whole month.
Oh, you did the whole thing? Wow. Oh, well done, mate. Well done. I'm assuming you loved it.
Yeah. No, it's been really good. Yeah.
How many times were you dragged in to a show by those kids performing on the street very earnestly?
Zero. This isn't my first rodeo, you know. It's, yeah.
And okay. Favorites and least favorites, but let's not be too mean on the least favorites. So be a little bit vague. Maybe don't name them, but maybe just give us a little suggestion of what they were.
Well, my favourite was a mind reader guy called Ash Price.
Oh.
And it was a free show, but yeah, he was really good. Wow. It was a very kind of small scale thing, so there was obviously a process. You know, he was obviously reading people rather than just sort of plucking stuff out of thin air.
He was a proper psychic, this guy.
Yeah.
He was actually using his special powers.
Yep, putting his fingers to his head going beep, beep, beep. It's, yeah.
Wow.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Let's go to Tracy first. Good evening, Tracy.
Hi, Ian.
Hey, Tracy.
Hiya.
How are you?
I'm all right.
Who are you? She said.
How are you?
She said, who are you?
Honestly,
she's forgotten already.
She hasn't.
As has the populace.
It's been a while since I left phone.
Yeah, but you never forget. You never forget a good one.
You never forget your first.
Now, I had a bit of a bad 15 months and I haven't been listening or.
Oh, I'm sorry
been
to hear
able
that,
to
Tracy.
So I thought I'd give you a ring tonight because it's where I am now. I've got internet access.
Well, I was going to say, does this mean the fact that you're listening and calling, does this mean that things are starting on the upswing?
Don't know. Mm. Well, it was 15 months ago. I got evicted from my property.
Oh.
Lost everything. Nothing I've got in my house I've got now. Basically, only a few clothes. Everything's gone in a skip by the council. My cat's been in foster care and I've been in a hostel for 15 months.
Blimey.
2 weeks ago, the hostel I was in kicked me out because I refused to put the alarm on overnight. That was a women's hostel, but now I'm in a mixed hostel.
Okay.
And it's horrible.
Oh, mate. What happened is what I'm trying to ask. What happened then? How did you've given us kind of the rundown, but how did it get to that point that all of your stuff ended up in a skip?
I got into major rent arrears because of the bedroom tax. Went to court on the Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock.
Wow.
And the judge says, you're being evicted. You've got 15 minutes to get back to your property and get what you need.
Blimey.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't go back to the house. My son blamed me. My family have disowned me.
Why have they disowned you? Because you've been evicted. That seems...
They said I made my son homeless. And yet, bear in mind, half an hour after the eviction, he was sitting in his nan's house, drinking tea and toast.
Okay.
That first day, I just walked around the town until 3 o'clock in the morning.
Hang on a minute. How old is your son?
28.
Right, well, sod him. Why do I get the feeling there's something has been missing? Something's missing from this story, and I don't know what it is. Do you know what I mean, Tracy? Feels like there's...
There's a lot to it.
There is. It feels like there's a lot of anger directed to you for what is not your fault. And I'm just wondering why. What we're missing from this story?
Can I ask a question?
Please do, Katharina Boyle.
Was your son not helping you out with the rent?
No. He was one of these who thought it was he earned the money, it was his money. Well, I've brought him up on my own.
Well, this is what confuses me, right? Because if other people in your family were saying, well, you made him homeless, that, from what you've told us, that's obviously nonsense.
He contributed to it as well.
Yeah, well, 28-year-old man should, at the very, very least, be paying part of his way. You know, if he's fallen on hard times, okay, fine. But if he's not paying his whole way, he should be paying part of his way.
I live with my parents, I paid him rent.
But so this... So
every time I asked him, it was no, I'm going out. No, I've got this to buy. No, I've got that to buy.
So
and I just let him get away with it, basically.
But everyone in your family is blaming you for making him homeless. That confuses me slightly.
I know. It confuses me. As I say, I went to the court and got evicted. I couldn't go back to the house. I was walking the streets till 3 o'clock in the morning, and then I realised I'd got where I work. I only work 3 hours a week. I'd got their office keys with me, so I went and stepped under the desk in the office, and then managed to get in touch with a friend through Facebook and stayed at hers for 2 weeks until I went into the first hostel. And I've been there. I was in that one 15 months.
And then there was the problem you wouldn't put the alarm on.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
Where my room was, it was right by where the alarm box is and where the front door was to the building.
Right.
It was a women's refuge. So there was only women and children in there. And because I was nearest the alarm, they automatically assumed it was me who had to put it on. And I thought it was wrong. Because there was other people in that hostel who were more than capable to come...
Of course there were.
To the front.
May I ask you a question that many irregular listeners, which we do get on a bank holiday, will think I'm an a-hole for asking.
Ask away, Ian.
I'm going to ask away, Tracy, because I know that I can with you, because I like you.
Oh, thank you. Of course everybody does.
That's all right. Do you find that you fall out with people quite easily? Let me rephrase that. Do you find that people fall out with you quite easily?
No. Not really.
So you've got the family that won't talk to you, the hostel that kicked you out. Those are the only two examples.
Yeah. My family have been funny with me since I was little, so it was to be expected.
Hey, listen, it sounds like a really horrendous story, and I wouldn't wish it on anyone, and I hope things get sorted out soon. I just can't help but feel there's something that I've missed in this story. That's all.
I don't know. Well, I've told you everything.
Yeah, okay.
But as I say, I'm in a mixed hostel now.
And how are you finding that?
Horrible.
So what's the next step?
I'm on housing associations list.
Yeah.
Somebody found me Friday to go onto a short list about a possible viewing, but will it be bank holiday and that? Nobody's found me back.
Of course not. Bank holiday. Where's
it
bank holiday?
It might be tomorrow, so I might have a viewing.
Okay.
Even then, I don't get my hopes up because it's called a group viewing.
Oh.
So I could go and view a property with five other people.
Yeah.
I could say, yes, I'm interested. Those other five could say, yes, we're interested.
Yeah.
And it's those with the highest priority who get off the property.
And that makes sense. You'd understand that makes sense, although it might seem unfair and it must be incredibly frustrating, and I haven't been in that situation. But that makes sense, the highest priority. So if there's like, if it's like comes between you and a bloke with a little baby, then goes to the bloke with a little baby.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah. But as I say, sort of, I've just had to, I'm outside the hospital, and I know I've been going around the corner, so I've had to move. As I say, I'm in a mixed hospital now. There's only one other woman in here who she's on everything.
Do you get on with her?
No, she's a mess. She's on everything.
Okay.
You name it, she takes it.
Do you get on with anyone in the hostel?
Only the staff. Okay. They're all kids who I'm old enough to be the mother.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're all 28 and younger. I'm old enough to be the parent.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, they're respectful to me. They say hello and, you know, don't bother me, but it's tough.
Tracy, I really appreciate you sharing what you've shared with us. And all I can do is wish you the very best of luck, and maybe you could let us know how that viewing
goes.
What's
made it worse, I'm having to share the bathroom, you know, the shower room.
Yeah.
And today, I've had a note pushed under the door off one of the resident men saying, can you please not use scented, you know, bath lotions or anything like that, because we don't want the place smelling girly and it can turn some of the men on and you're asking for trouble.
Oh, so you've been threatened with rape for having a wash. Gosh. Wow. What a world we live in.
The alternative to you not, obviously, washing with scenty things is for them not to be perverts.
Yeah, no, that's on them. That's not your...
I think some of the people in here need to know how to use scented products ourselves.
Okay. All right. Well, Tracy, I wish you the very best of luck. And maybe give us a call and let us know how things go.
Yeah, I will do. Don't worry.
Nice one, Tracy. Thank you very much indeed. 0344-499-1000. Alan, I promise you're next. Thank you for waiting. This is the Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. Yeah, she's back. Catherine Boyle.
Boom.
Weeknights from 10 on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Lane asked the question, could this be the greatest theme tune of all time? I don't know. Listen to the board backing vocals. Listen. Yesterday, but you don't ask the names. That's living all right. Or we may have run out of them. Yeah, you play a game, then it's happy to say, that's living all right. There we go. Is it the greatest theme song of all time? I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know, but we'll put it out there. If you want to tell us what it is, 0344-499-1000. Feels a little bit local radio, but also feels like it could be a lot of fun. Great. I like theme tunes that tell you what happens in the show. We'll play it later on. The Lost Islands, forgotten kids TV show from the 70s. And the whole theme tells you that it's these kids that are on a boat and then the boat got lost and they landed on an island that was stuck back in time. Which is great. I've played it before. Someone did a really, Lost, which was a great show until the last series, which was lousy. But the theme, it didn't have a theme tune. All it had was this kind of sonic noise. And then you were in. But someone made a theme tune for Lost. Did I ever play? I think I played. They are lost on a magical island. Lost. It was just great. I would say the greatest theme tune of all time, though, has to be the French A-Team. Doesn't it?
Oh, it's excellent.
The French A-Team is something very special. This is the Late Night Alternative. My name is Ian Lee. Who that lady?
Catherine Boyle.
That's the one. Mondays to Fridays, 10 o'clock on Talk Radio. Do give us a call. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Now, I was reading Shindig magazine, which is not a magazine I'm not... It leaves a bitter taste in my mouth, Shindig, because I wrote an article for them many years ago. They weren't going to pay me for it. It was just I wrote an article and I sent it to them and they didn't publish it for like 6 or 7 months. And then I sent it to Record Collector and said, I don't suppose you're interested in this article about the monkeys, are you? They went, oh, yeah, no, we'd love it. It's 10 pence a word. And so, oh, you're going to pay me. They said, yeah. And so I snatched it out of the hands of Shindig magazine, who weren't going to pay me, and I sent it off to Record Collector, who paid me 10 pence a word, which is a great little deal. So I have issues with Shindig. I have issues with magazines that don't pay writers. But it's a fun little magazine about old men playing records and guitars and stuff. And I was... Hello? That's you, Catherine. Just let me know when you turned off the notifications on your computer. Thank you. You done? Are you done? Are you done? Are you done?
Am I what?
Are you done?
Sorry?
Are you done?
Eh?
Are you done?
Done.
Are you done? Is she done? I don't know. I'm going to assume she's done.
I'm not nearly done.
So I was reading about the group Badfinger. Tell me what you know about Badfinger.
Oh, put a bit of Savlon on it. Don't pick it. It'll be right.
Okay.
They did No Matter What You Do. Sounded a little bit like Macca.
And do you know why?
Because he wrote that.
I don't think he did write that, but he named Badfinger. He came up with a name. I think they were called the Ivies. Were they called the Ivies or the Ivy League or something? Signed to Apple. They had a big hit with If You Want It, Here It Is, Come and Get It, But You Better Hurry Cause It's Going Fast.
Again, Macca-esque.
Written by Macca. So well, it's just Macca. And I didn't really know a lot about them. I know that one of them committed suicide. They were, so I read this article, and basically, they were getting ripped off by their manager to the tune of about £300,000. And one of them, and I don't know their names, little I know about them. One of them, said, no, the manager's straight, the manager's straight. Then he found out the manager was bent. And so, he killed himself. The guy from Badfinger killed himself. And then so Badfinger kind of struggled on. And then about 8 years later, another member of Badfinger killed themselves.
No.
And I'm sat there reading this going, wow, this is an incredible story. This is an incredibly, I believe we have one of someone listens to this show who's called us in the past, who's the granddaughter of one of Badfinger. And I was thinking, I'd love to read a book about Badfinger. There isn't any. There's one that was written a long time ago that is about £150 on eBay. Right? There isn't one. So I texted my mate Scott. Oh, and I tweeted, actually, I'd love to read a book about Badfinger. I wish someone would write it. Mm-hmm. And Scott WhatsApped me and said, oh, I know everything there is to know about Badfinger. If you ever want to know, give me a call.
It's a proud boast, isn't it?
So I thought we'd give my mate Scott Balcony a quick call and get the inside info on Badfinger. Because it's such a tragic story, such a sad story, that I thought it would be nice if we kind of found out a little bit more about them. So let's just give Scott a call. He doesn't know I'm calling him. Let's see if he answers.
Hello.
Hello, is that Scott?
It is.
Hello, mate. It's Ian Lee. You're live on Talk Radio.
Hello, mate. How are you doing? I have to be quiet because everyone's asleep.
That's okay. Kath's here as well.
Hello, Scott.
Hi, Kath.
Hello.
Scott, can I ask a favour?
Yeah, of course you can. Thank you for buying us living, all right?
Absolutely perfect. Earlier on today, you privately WhatsApped me in response to a public tweet I put where you said that you know everything there is to know about Badfinger.
Yep.
And if I ever wanted to know the Badfinger story, I should give you a call. Well, I want to know the Badfinger story. So give us the deets, Scott. But the world is listening. Over to you, buddy.
Well, they were signed to Apple, the Beatles record label. Paul McCartney wrote on some songs. George Harrison played on some songs. And then they had a hit, but they didn't sing it. Someone else did. And it got really big. And they didn't make any money, and then, tragically, two of them killed themselves. I think that's it.
No, don't be upset.
No, don't cry. I know it's an emotional time for you. But, okay, well, that's good. That's kind of what I gleaned from the article and what I said.
It's horrific. It's laughter because it's horrific.
That was laughter.
It's a horrific story.
It was laughter. Wow. So we thought we were giving you the benefit of the doubt and thinking you were crying.
No, I was crying.
Okay. So that's the stuff that I said in the introduction. So let's get into the nitty gritty. What were Badfinger called before they became Badfinger? Do you know?
They were Goodfinger. But George Harrison thought it needed to be edgier.
Okay, so did George Harrison come up with the name Badfinger?
Yes.
Okay. Any other...
What's your favourite theme tune?
Sorry?
What's your favourite theme tune?
It's the French A-Team.
Oh, okay.
I like the Fresh Prince.
Mm.
That's good, yeah, I like Minder.
Okay. Back to Badfinger.
Yeah. Was it Harry Nilsson?
Sorry?
Did Harry Nilsson do one of their songs?
What, Minders? No, it was Thingy. It was,
Dennis Waterman.
Dennis Waterman.
Scott, can I ask you a question? Personal question, and I would love an honest answer, if you don't mind.
Okay, yeah.
Do you know anything about Badfinger?
They were signed to Apple.
Oh, he's an idiot. He's just going, this guy's just been pulling my plonker all day. Absolute scumbag, that guy. Let's go to Jeff. Good evening, Jeff.
Good evening, Ian. How you doing?
I'm disappointed because I've just had to strike another friend off of my list of friends.
Oh, dear.
Never mind, these things happen. What have you got for us, Jeffrey?
Well, I'll tell you what it is. Actually, it might be related to that. I'm a musician from Belfast, and I've done a lot of interesting wee bits and pieces of things. But once I was busking, this was about 10 years ago, and I met a guy who I only recognised from a book about Peter Cook, and it was a guy called Rainbow George.
Jesus, so early into the show. Okay, yeah, okay, great.
Well, basically, I was doing a musical thing at the time, and he kind of helped me with it.
Oh, he helped you? Wow, okay.
Well, he supported me when I was trying to find somewhere to stage it. And then he did a few things around Belfast, but I haven't been in touch for quite a while, and then I just got in touch with him the other night.
And he asked you to call us up, did he?
Well, he said that there'd been some, there was some sort of misunderstanding he didn't understand.
Hang on a minute. So, Rainbow George...
Gave
you something to do and asked you to call us up.
Well, he said to me that he... he'd been on your show a few times, and then you seemed to,
No, I didn't seem to. He seemed to. How's about them apples? I didn't seem to. He seemed to. It was
right.
Him.
I don't know what it was actually
he
about.
He seemed to.
No.
Maybe I thought because I've known him in the past, I could try to work out.
No.
There's something about being a nasty man, and he wanted to know why that was the case.
He seemed to. Not me. I didn't.
Yeah.
I've tolerated his nonsense for years. He seemed to.
Right. Okay.
What is this? Are you two 15 years old or something? What is this? My mate says that you were mean to him. What's that about? What are you saying that for? You said mean things about my mate. What's that for? What are you doing that for?
Yeah, I thought I would just try to find out.
You've made it worse.
Yeah, I've made it worse.
You've made it worse, okay. Jeffrey.
Okay, well,
You made it worse. Made it personal.
I'm afraid you've stumbled into a hornet's nest.
You made it worse.
Well, I guess that's all I can do. I can leave it there, but,
He's a dead man.
Right.
Tell him he's a dead man.
He's probably listening to
it. Of course he is. Why would he get you? There's no hard feelings to you, Jeff. It's all a little bit of theatre. But why would he get you to phone up? What is that about, Catherine?
It's standard. Come on, get someone else to do it.
Maybe it's because, I don't know, independent. I don't know. I'm not him.
No, exactly. Let him do his own dirty work. He's got shit all over his hands and he's smeared it all over your face.
Oh, my God.
Oh, well, yeah.
What an image.
Thanks for your call, Jeff.
Well, all I'd say is that I've had no bad experiences, but I'm not gonna get into anything I don't understand, so I'll leave it there.
Thank you very much indeed, Jeff. It's appreciated.
George, come on.
Come on, George. Grow up here. Put your socks up. Man up, George. That was weird. Poor old Jeff stumbled into something that...
Jeff seemed like a really nice
man. Jeff seems like a top guy. Admittedly, he doesn't listen to the show. That's absolutely fine. Not everybody does, as the figures will show. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, you'd be very, very welcome. This is the Late Night Alternative, weeknights from 10 with Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle. Only on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Every weeknight from 10, get an earful of unusual nocturnal emissions with radio's Lord of Misrule, Ian Lee. No relation, thank God.
The cactus and the tree and the rabbit on their hill.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Just listen and see what happens.
Tomorrow night from 10
on Talk Radio. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We've got the transcript books in my hands. It's a real physical thing, and the cover looks great, man. Let's have a go. You know the website Fiverr? A woman on, how patronising, an artist on Fiverr designed this cover. 23 quid, I think it looks great. We have the first two copies. They're misprints because it's not formatted properly. And I've just remembered something else I need to do. So, I've ordered two more copies with most of the corrections. I need to add your name to your introduction. I need to change the page numbers. I can do that tomorrow. That's easy. Don't need to order any more after the ones we got. Once we get the new copies in, basically it's a book of transcripts of the show that you guys have written. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All profits are going to go to the Samaritans. I think we're selling it for $12.99, and I think that means it's on a website, Lulu, where it prints per order, so I don't have a big box in my garage. And I think that means that we get like £5.79 for every book we sell, something like that. I'll check and I'll publish it all so you can see where it's at. And all the money will go to the Samaritans. And it looks great, man. It's a proper book. I'm absolutely thrilled with it. Hopefully 2 weeks' time. I've sent the email off. There you go, Boyley.
Thanks.
Touch it. It's exciting, isn't it? I know it could what we used to call in the olden days a vanity publishing, but it's still a book. Still a book that's got stuff in that what we've done. So I'm very proud of that. And I've sent the email off about maybe possibly cancelling the Rabbit Hole Picture Show because we just haven't sold. We sold a third of the tickets. And I know there's a few weeks to go, but maybe that idea is gone. Maybe that idea is dead and buried, us screening movies.
It's time for the next thing.
Maybe it's time for the next thing. We need to sell about another 15 tickets in the next week, I would imagine, to screening of My Cousin Vinny, very funny film. On Saturday the 14th of September, ianlee.com/event. If you want to go and get that, ianlee.com/event. We need to sell 15 tickets in the next week. Otherwise, it's gone. Let's go to Alan Caddick.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Kev.
Hello.
You're talking about the new book.
Yeah.
I know there's quotes from me sleeping, but is there any other quotes from me in there?
No.
So it's just plenty of these.
I can't remember what your bit is. Alan is in there. It's so long since we put it all together. I can't remember.
Oh, I thought there might have been a quote about me being the first caller.
No. Don't work like that.
But there's quotes from me asleep.
I think so. I can't remember. Is Alan asleep in there? Let's have a little look. It's a great book, by the way. Thank you to everyone. Everyone who put, Alan, chapter 13.
Oh, no, it's when we're whispering sweet nothings in your ear. So you completely missed it.
Oh, I have to read that when I get the book.
Yeah, you'll find out.
Hang on, we can reenact it. If you go to page 163, Nelly did this one. Me and Kath are going to read. There we go.
Hang on.
I was setting the mood.
Okay, the mood is set. You got it yet, Kath?
Yeah.
I'm here, naked for you, Alan. All you've got to do is wake up. And all your pleasures and fantasies can come true, Alan. Go on. It's you.
I know, I'm leaving it. Alan continues to snore.
Right, okay.
I don't think he's into leopard skin. He's horrible.
I think of you, Alan, when I'm on the lavvy.
Oh, God.
Cor, I want to have your babies, Alan. Give me your babies. I'm going to tie you to the bed, Alan. I'm going to ride you like a horse. Going to ride you like a stallion, Alan. I'm going to drain you dry.
Oh, no, 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 no.
No, is that too much? Too much?
No. Red card.
Okay, too much. Alan? Okie dokie. And that is one of the many scenes you can act out at home with your family.
Bit of fun this Christmas.
Exactly. Fun this Christmas.
Oh, do you know what? If you are going to do that, record it.
Oh, please do. Imagine the Star Wars is finished, Doctor Who Christmas special is finished, everyone's sat there. Do you fancy having a go on the new PlayStation game?
Go on, Nana, you can be Alan Caddick.
Let's do this. Here's the thing. Let's crack open Here's the Thing, the late night alternative transcripts by Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle. Oh, man alive. Oh, God almighty. Let's go to Lewis. Good evening, Lewis.
Good evening, Ian. Hello. I thought I'd call in because you were talking about Badfinger, and I'm a sort of semi-relative in a way.
Oh, here we go. Well, hang on. Sort of semi in a way. That means you're not. It means you've met one of their granddaughters.
No. Okay. My granddad was in the Ivies, but he left just before they got big and were part of Badfinger.
Oh, no. So I was right. They were called the Ivies. Scott didn't know that. He said they were called... So were they ever called Goodfinger?
Not to my knowledge, no. I think he might have been talking out of his bum.
Lying little Tyrone. All right, so, now did the... Because I honestly don't know much about them. It's kind of a... I know a lot about the Beatles, I know a lot about the 60s, but Badfinger, a bit of a blank spot as far as I'm concerned. So what did your granddad do... What was his name and what did he do in the Ivies?
Okay, so my granddad was called Ron Griffiths. He was basically part of the original lineup of the Ivies. Was essentially around for the recording of their big album, as it were, part of, like, the Come and Get It. He actually wrote a couple of the songs on the album, like Dear Angie.
Wow.
Which was actually about my nan, funnily enough.
No!
Come together anymore.
Oh.
Yeah, well, hang on a second. Hang on a second. Let's have a...
Dear Angie! Just these lines to convince.
Your granddad wrote this.
He did.
Oh, mate, this is great.
Dear Angie.
He gets no royalties, though.
Does he not? Is he playing on this? Because this, I notice, this is on an album that's credited to Badfinger, not the Ivies.
Yes. From my recollection, yes, he's actually doing some vocals on it and played bass on it.
Wow.
I can wait till Friday night and see you just hold.
Oh, it's about your granddad and your nana, and it's actually quite dirty. It's quite dirty.
let's not go into that.
And then what happened? Did he leave? Did he get booted out? Did McCartney come in and say, I want that loser out of the band, otherwise I'm not gonna sign you to Apple Records?
Basically, he made a big mistake and decided to concentrate on family instead of rocking around the world.
Oh, I don't know if that's a big mistake, mate. Knowing the little I do about Badfinger, he probably got off lightly.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Essentially he left because he met... even though the song's called Angie, it's actually about someone called Maureen.
Maureen!
Yeah, I can see why that might be problematic.
And so he left for love.
He did. He had my uncle first, and then my mother. I had to leave the band just as they all got big. And then there was some bad blood between him and I think one of the guys who masquerades as Badfinger these days called Joey something or other.
Now he's obviously, well, obviously say something really dumb. Now he's still alive, right?
He is.
Is your granddad still alive?
He is. He's alive and kicking.
I don't suppose he fancies coming on the show one night, does he?
You know what? I was going to offer. I will get in touch with my granddad tomorrow and see what he says.
And I don't know how long you've been listening, Lewis, but it would not be... I wouldn't want to go anywhere that would cause any problems. Yeah, I wouldn't want to... No. You know, I wouldn't want to poke the beast about what's going on now. I just want to know what it was like and what it was like being in a band and did he meet the Beatles and what it was like leaving.
Hey, I've been listening since the Absolute days, so I've got no problem with that at all.
Bless you, mate. Well, if he's up for it, we would treat him like an absolute star. He is a star. Cool. He's written this.
No worries. I'll get in touch with him and I'll
Now I am intrigued. I'm going to ask you a question that you probably don't know the answer to. Why would there be bad blood with the surviving members of Badfinger? I mean, I know rock and roll is full of bad blood, but that seems particularly unfair.
I only know vague bits on this bit, but from my knowledge, and don't quote me verbatim, it's something to do with, obviously, the royalties from Apple. Once they all, Apple sort of screwed them over, none of them got any money, which is partly what led to some of the suicides of the band. And I think there was some sort of agreement where Joey... is getting some royalties now, but doesn't give anything to anyone else who is alive.
Right. Money. It's all you had to say was money. And sadly, that's the way it all goes, man. That's the way it all goes. Oh, Lewis, what a fan. We've not spoken before, have we?
I only have a couple of times, but a very long time ago.
Oh, well, what a fantastic return to speak to you. That was brilliant, Lewis. And if your granddad is up for it, we would treat him like the legend he absolutely is. He'd be very, very welcome.
I will let you know. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lewis. Oh, there you go. That makes up for Scott being an idiot. Wasn't that a lovely call?
Yeah.
His granddad wrote a song for his grandma and left the band for love. It's such a fascinating story, Baff. Literally, I read this article. It was part two of an article. And I knew hardly anything about them. And I just think they're one of those... People say the curse of bad thing. I don't buy that nonsense. But I just think they're one of those groups, if you start digging... Do you know what? I think it's only the second time we've mentioned them on this show. And it's the second time we've had someone phone in going, "Are you unrelated to one of them?" That interesting? What a strange... Strange band.
That I'm reading that Paul McCartney book, McCartney in the 70s, Man on the Run. And I got to the, I've got past the bit where they're talking about, you know, part of the reason why the Beatles broke up was, you know, that George, John and Ringo signed with this guy who was managing them.
Yeah. Oh, Alan Klein.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And then he started sort of making moves on Apple, didn't he? And sort of suggesting that Apple was a Klein
managed company.
Oh, it's true.
He went to prison in the end for fraud.
This isn't part of the same thing, is it?
It was happening around the time. But Badfinger, it's interesting because the article I read said that, that Apple didn't screw them over, but realised there was financial impropriety going on with the management once they'd left Apple and went to Warner's. So Apple just put all the money into an escrow account, which means it can't be touched until everything's sorted out, I think. And that took a long, it took like 10, 15 years. So it's fascinating. I don't know. I've got one sided article that is obviously favoured in the side of this Joey guy who's still alive. But there you go. What a call. Thank you. It's going to be one of those shows tonight. I want to talk a little bit more about music in a second. I want to talk about Bucks Fizz in a second. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
So, I love Bucks Fizz, right? Yeah. We've had Bucks Fizz on the show. I'm a big, big fan. And I met Bucks Fizz and they was Jay, Cheryl and Mike Nolan, wasn't it? It was Mike Nolan.
Mm-hmm.
Which was the other guy in Bucks Fizz that had left? Because Mike Nolan was in it when I saw him, wasn't it? I'm getting slightly confused. Anyway, they were so lovely to me. They made me welcome at their rehearsal. People go, "Oh, Bucks Fizz." Yeah, whatever. Great pop music. Deal with it.
And they can sing.
And they were so lovely to me. And I spent an hour with them. And they gave me tickets to go and see them. And it was a thrill. And so then today it's been announced that Jay Ashton, who recently had mouth or throat cancer. I think it was mouth cancer. Was very, very poorly. That Jay Ashton is standing for the Brexit Party. And
Bobby G, you're thinking of.
Bobby G was the guy that left.
Yeah.
Right, and he owns the name Bucks Fizz.
Right.
His wife, I think, owns the name Bucks Fizz. A very complicated story. And so Jay Ashton is standing for the Brexit Party, a party that I am, I'm going to say ideologically against. I don't agree with any of their policies, from what I know. I don't agree with their policies. But that doesn't stop me liking Jay Ashton because she was really, really nice to me and indulged me, you know, my silly questions. And I still think they're a great band. And everyone is, and it is easy to knock Bucks Fizz. All right, they're a little bit naff. I get it. But everyone has been like really mean. Everyone. People on the left have been really mean today. Knocking Jay Ashton and this is, I'm struggling to put this into words, but this is kind of where we're at now. That because she's standing for a right-wing party, right, people on the left aren't allowed to like her. They're not allowed to like her, so we have to make fun of her, we have to take the piss, we have to be very rude about her, a lot of rudeness about her. Making jokes about her politics is fine, I think. I think that's a healthy thing to do, but I didn't get the personal attacks and the personal meanness about it. And my reaction was, oh my God, what's she doing? And then I thought, oh, actually, I don't care what she's doing. I don't care what her politics are. I don't care. I don't care that she's associated with Farage or don't lie. I don't care about that. What I care about is, when I met her, she was an absolute sweetheart to me. And I still really like In the Land of Make-Believe. Still one of my favourite pop songs of all time. So, do you know what I mean? And we are in this binary world now. We talk about this whole on-off, black-white, yes-no, left-right, binary thing of if somebody thinks politically different to you, you're not allowed to like them or get on with them.
They must be a bad person.
They must be a... There we go. Thank you. Thank you. You're absolutely right. They must be bad
they're
or evil.
They're not on your team. They're not on your side.
They must be a bad person. But that's a recent thing. Mm-hmm. That's like... That's I think it's in Twitter. But that's like the last... 5 years, definitely. 10 years, well, yeah, maybe. It's like that's the last 7 years, really. That if someone is on the opposite side of the political spectrum, they are bad, yeah. And you can't get on with them. And I've always thought that the left were kind of, you know, peaceful and stuff like that. But actually, there's some real arseholes in the left. I mean, you look at, you know, the anti-Semitism in the Labour Party that is there. That is thoroughly unpleasant. But some people on the left... People on the left, and I'm trying to choose my words really carefully, because I got called out last time for calling out people on the right, and I want to make sure that I don't. I want to get the balance right. People on the left can be just as mean, and just as nasty, and just as violent with their words, as people on the right. And I'm not saying, you know, well, you're saying people on the left are as bad as Nazis. You know what? Sometimes I think they might be. Sometimes also, I think they might
not
be.
Not all people on the right are Nazis. That's
no, exactly.
The other thing. We're slipping into that kind of
thank you.
Extreme...
This is why I find it so difficult.
It's you're either a lefty
yeah.
or a Nazi.
Yeah.
You're a snowflake or you're a gammon. It's like the worst kind of tribalism.
Thank you for correcting me. You're right, because it's easy. It's even when I'm thinking of the words, it's easy to slide into that thing.
Let's have a think about, right, Buck's fears. And I've noticed it with Mike Stock, who...
Oh, Mike Stock posts some pretty far out
yeah,
stuff.
Right. He's been nothing but supportive to this show.
Oh.
And you wouldn't think that this isn't his politics at all.
No.
And we're not political, but you would think that this was a bit too peace and love for him from what he posts,
yeah.
right?
He's very pro-Trump, and he tweets some anti-Islamic stuff. He
loves us, right? He got rich in the 1980s, which was a decade of...
Yep.
Greed is good, Gordon Gekko, that whole thing, right? And he, you know, came up from, you know, he wasn't born rich, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people like that who thought that it's just about graft and you can pull yourself up from your bootstraps. And that was okay. So why do you think that someone who got rich in the 80s isn't going to be right-leaning?
But also... I don't care what Mike Stock's politics are. I don't care, because I'm not especially politically minded. And I realise that what sometimes when I say stuff politically, it sounds a bit sixth form, but I don't care. All I care is Mike Stock wrote some brilliant, brilliant pop songs, or produced some brilliant pop songs and wrote them, and some of my favourite songs from the 80s, and invited me to his house for a couple of hours and made me a cup of tea and was... I think he got his servants to make me a cup of tea. But, yeah. No, he made me a cup of tea. He made me a cup of tea and was an absolute delight to me. That's all I care about. That's all I care about. And that's okay. That's okay to be friendly to someone and receive friendly gestures from someone, even if you completely, completely disagree with their politics. That's okay. And we've lost that now.
Yeah. We don't. Here's the big secret that no one is saying. You don't have to pick sides. You don't have to pick sides. And also, whatever happened to disagreeing with someone without falling out with them?
Yeah. It's funny, our world. I have no, and this is again something else that isn't popular or fashionable at the moment. I have no conclusion to that little spiel. I have no final definite thought about it. I'm doing what we do on this show, and which we're still allowed to do on this show. I'm just kicking ideas around and trying to join up some bits and pieces and make some understanding of how I'm feeling and what I'm thinking and what I have seen in the world. And I just was really surprised at the meanness thrown at Jay Ashton. Again, the jokes are fine. That's what we do in a healthy society. You're allowed to.
Also, she's a quote-unquote famous person, so they're not real, are they?
No, but also she's a quote-unquote famous person from a naff band, but perceived as naff band. Yeah. So it's easier to do that. David Van Day stuff was funny because he made a really crappy video and look ridiculous.
Also, he takes himself incredibly seriously.
And he tried to steal Bucks of his. I don't know. I have no conclusion. I have no thoughts.
Here's my thought.
Please.
Ask yourself why you're bothered.
Yeah.
If you are bothered. Are you really, though? Or is it just you've kind of, we've been sort of trained to feel this way about each other.
Yeah.
When my mum was growing up, you never told anyone which way you voted.
Yeah. And it's what happened to him. My knee-jerk reaction when I saw it was, oh my God, what a scumbag. That's my knee-jerk reaction. Knee-jerk reactions are fine. You can't control them. It's the second, third and fourth thoughts that you have. And I just thought, why am I allowing myself to be dragged into that? She was really, really nice to me. She's not killed anybody. She's not, you know, she was really nice to me. And I've got to be honest, I still fancy her as much as I did when I was a 13-year-old lad, you know. And they put on a really, really good show. Mike loves politics from the Beach Boys. He's right, he's a Trump supporter. I don't care.
But arguably he's a product of his generation.
Kelsey Grammer, he's a Trump supporter. I don't care. I don't care. When I met him, he was lovely to me. He was lovely to you. That's fine.
Do you know what? There'll come a time when our kids and our grandkids are embarrassed of our politics.
Yeah, yeah.
And they think we're old-fashioned.
Yeah.
And don't ignore them. They don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
That was all right back then. She doesn't know.
It's a funny old world, isn't it? Anyway, Marie, stay there. You'll be next. Thank you for your patience. 03444991000. This is the Late Night Alternative. Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle. And we are proud to say that whatever her politics, we are fans of Jay Ashton. And here's the thing. I'm glad she didn't die of cancer because she was really, really ill. I'm glad she's still around. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Jay Ashton. I kept saying Ashton. And then as I was saying it, was wrong. Because I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot. Idiot. 03444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Let's go to Marie. Good evening, Marie.
Ian?
Marie?
Hi.
Hello there.
Yeah, you've got the lovely voice and the charm and everything.
Thank you.
So now you have to pretend that you're 10 to 20 years older.
Right.
And heterosexual.
Yes.
And you have a child.
Right.
With a developmental lifelong disability.
Okay.
And you have to decide whether you want to stay with his dad or not.
You have to decide what? Sorry, it's not the greatest line. You have to decide what?
I know. We are in a kind of forest and the signal is bad.
Okay. This is the forest in Windsor, yes?
Yeah, that's one. I don't like that you keep things on record. I don't.
No record. I just remembered it. You don't like that? I remembered something.
I'd like to think that I'm very anonymous here, and that nobody I know can hear this, because the people who know me and who have all my voice messages and inboxes full, who I can't face yet, who are very worried about me, I can't talk to them. I prefer to just talk to a stranger like you.
Okay.
So, we had a lovely summer's evening. We have a big trampoline out, and we've been watching the stars come out, because it was cloudless. There are clouds now with Wixie, and his telescope arrived tonight, but we couldn't figure it out. And it was his dad's turn, because before we did things together, when he was a baby, I'd wake him up in the middle of the night when there was a full moon and show him the moon, even if it was winter. I knew the stars as a kid in South Africa. In England, it's rare to have an uncloudy evening. We couldn't make the telescope work, but we could make the binoculars work.
Yes.
And it's just sad that we don't do these things together anymore.
You don't do these things together anymore.
Well, I don't know what to call him. With that, I have to decide whether we're going to be a family or a split family.
Why do you, you mean getting back, you mean being with his, your child's father?
Yeah.
Right. Well, why do you have to decide?
Well, he did something stupid a few months ago when I found out about it 4 weeks ago. Which
found out what? I've missed something vital. Sorry, and it's probably me just not being able to focus properly. What did you find out 4 weeks? What did you find out 4 weeks ago?
I don't want to put all my dirty laundry out here. But he did something very stupid.
He had an affair?
Well, obviously, yeah. It just makes me reevaluate everything, and I'm kind of reversing into where I was before I met him. And I want to not jump into anything because I'm needy or desperate. I want to reevaluate my life and decide whether I'm able to be with this man.
That sounds like a very healthy thing to do, that we should all be doing at various points.
He's been my best friend for 18 years, yes, and my husband for 17 years, and my kid can't cope with change, and we've built a life together.
Yep.
And I have our animals around us, and, you know, everything we've got together around me. And I can't sleep, and I'm half pissed, which is why I'm phoning you.
Yes.
I also have chronic back pain, and my painkillers just don't do the job. It's a big decision, but I'm more than middle aged, which I don't know if you can relate to. I'm not into women, and I can count on my one hand the men who did it for me in my life. I've met some amazing people all over the world, and Theo was not my greatest love. He was my compromise, but he was very happy. Laugh at each other.
Well, you said a big old thing. If this guy is your compromise, you have to decide whether you want to compromise the compromise.
I was happy with what I had, and he wasn't.
You might be happier without him or with somebody else.
I don't think somebody else is a very realistic option, all things considered. Lots of things considered. My darling, you're single. You don't have...
I'm not single.
You don't... Well, whatever. You don't have...
Whatever.
Oh, shit. Ow!
Sorry?
Ow! I just slipped on my kid's ramp.
Oh, God. On a ramp?
A ramp. I built him a very long ramp sloping down the garden, and it has a proper ramp.
Be careful. Are you okay?
It's wet because of the dew, and I was walking on it, and I slipped.
Okay, well, don't walk on a ramp at 10 to 11 at night.
Gone barefoot. Okay, so there you've got it. How do you decide? Can a middle-aged woman, not bad-looking, with a great personality, make other choices in her life, or is she just doomed to accept what she's got?
What would be the best thing for your child?
For my kid, he can't adjust to change, and he has to have the house we live in, which is all he's known ever.
Okay. What would be the best thing?
He has to have his mum and dad, and whether we're together or separate.
At some point, he's not going to have his mum and dad.
Well, I'm trying to get him used to not lying on the trampoline together.
Okay, but at some point, the inevitable thing is, at some point, you and your husband are going to be dead. So
yeah,
he's not going to have his mum and dad forever.
Yeah, and that is why, you know, my kid is autistic, but he's... amazing abilities are coming through now. He's 7 going on 8.
Yeah.
Over this holiday when I've been able to spend 24/7
with him. There are autistic kids whose parents have split up before. And I know every single autism is completely different. Hang on a second. Autistic kids have been through divorces and have survived.
I know, but there's a spectrum, and they're all different.
As I just said, autistic kids with all varying degrees have been through divorces. You cannot create a fantasy world around a child.
Thank you. But I'm the one with the experience, yeah?
Okay. I have experience as well of life. And you cannot create, so I'm going to ignore that tone because I know you're drunk and you're upset. You cannot create a fantasy world around a child.
Thank you. This is decent advice.
But I know, it's the best.
Mind. It's not a factor I can ignore. But he's getting used to the idea of going to parents and so on.
Okay,
that's all I wanted to say. Your other topics seemed a bit light and superficial, and I just wanted to bring a bit of real life into it. Okay, darling.
Can I say something?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've allowed your tone to make me feel very, very uncomfortable and patronized.
Sorry.
That's okay. I'm just saying.
I'm just so frustrated.
I know you are, and you're taking it out on me because I'm not a real person, and that's unfair.
Sorry, darling.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Oh, 3444991000. George is on the line. Good evening, George.
Good evening.
Did you phone a bomb scare to your bank once to get out of paying a mortgage?
It wasn't to get out of paying a mortgage. It was to get out of explaining why my overdraft had risen so far and I hadn't paid it back and I didn't have any story to tell, so I arranged a bomb scare.
Did you ever, in 1985, in McDonald's in Tottenham Court Road, hand someone some tickets they had lost for a musical youth concert?
No.
Are you sure?
Certain.
Okay. Just someone phoned up and said that you did that.
No.
Did you get a random Irish busker who's never listened to the show before to phone up and harass us?
He didn't harass you.
He just
asked the question because you perplexed me.
Why don't you ask the question?
So, I've never been called a nasty man in my life.
Oh, I think you called me a nasty man. I think you're very rude and inconsiderate and selfish. But I'm surprised that's not been mentioned before.
Well, you misjudge me very badly.
You misjudge me very badly?
No.
I don't think I do. You misjudge me very badly.
No, I'm an almost 79-year-old Jewish mystic who had some very strange experiences back in 1976.
Okay, and all I did was ask if there was perhaps another explanation, and you went off on one.
No, you called me nasty. You said that...
Because you got nasty and rude.
Where have I been nasty and rude?
Probably just before I called you nasty. All I did was ask if there could possibly be another explanation, and you went crazy.
No, I am presenting myself at the moment as someone who supposes himself to be playing the part of the Spirit of Truth. In John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 13, I genuinely suppose that I'm playing that.
Okay, and I genuinely believe that you're not.
That's okay. You don't have to believe it, but you don't know that it's not true.
But I'm allowed to question it, and that seemed to be where the problem was. You didn't seem to like being questioned about it.
No, you implied that I had some sort of mental breakdown.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I literally didn't. I asked if it were a possibility that perhaps it was mental health or drug related. I didn't. There was no implication there. And it's interesting that you picked up an implication when I simply asked a question. Asking a question doesn't imply anything.
It's an anniversary for me today.
Is it the anniversary of something going tits up? I tell you what, why don't you say hello to Nigel?
Nigel, nice to speak to you.
Hello.
I tried to
Hello, George.
Hello, Nigel. I tried to get Ian to pass on a message to you the other day. I wanted you to tune in to a poem I wrote called Rainbow Land. Have you ever heard it?
No, I haven't. Are you able to send it to my Facebook so I can see the words?
If you Google YouTube...
Oh, yes.
Rainbow Land, Ian Dury, because Ian recorded it for me.
Okay, I will do.
I would love you to put your music to it. It's got music to it at the moment. The music that is there at the moment was done by a guy called Dave Goodman, who did the Sex Pistols Anarchy in the UK. He produced that track. But it would be lovely if you liked
it. I'll try and find it later on, then, or tomorrow. Okay, I wrote a song about Cyrus, which I've got here on my phone.
Nigel, could you go and stand in the one place in your house where you get a phone signal, please? And I ask you, Nigel, to start every phone call just stood in that place? Because it seems every time you call
it
seems that every time you call in, I have to ask you to go and stand in the place where you can get a phone signal. So if you
this
started,
is where I normally talk to you from. This is in the kitchen.
If you started the phone call there, Angel, piss off is what I'll say to you. But just piss off, annoying person on Twitter.
I got a song I wrote about Miley Cyrus on my phone with an organ.
It's irrelevant how old someone is. If someone talks nonsense, I'll call them out for talking nonsense. So don't give me the, he's 79, just let it be, FFS.
You know how old Donald Trump is?
Yeah, exactly. Goodbye, Angel. Thanks very much. Go on, Nigel.
Who's Angel?
On Twitter. An annoying person on Twitter.
Have you spoken to Helen Grant recently?
No, I haven't, mate.
Oh, but I've been handing out flyers all over the place of the photo, you know.
Okay.
Nigel, what prompted me to lead you in that direction of Rainbow Land? You were talking about your mum and you thought that she was watching over you. You'd had a dream or something.
Well, an angel.
I think your mum is in Rainbow Land, so that's the link to the poem.
But I believe that she's guiding me.
Good.
And watching over me, because I have an awful lot to do, you know, sorting things out. And
I'm sure she is, Nigel.
Can I play this song before the battery goes in, please, Ian? Back to you. It's only very short, about 2 minutes.
There we go.
I'm just starting it now. It's me singing along to the organ.
Hi, this is Nigel from Maidstone. This is a song I made 5 years ago. It's a song.
Nigel. Nigel, we can't hear it.
I have to start it again.
Yeah.
Could you
sing along to it? Because we can't hear it. Not listening. Nigel!
It's okay.
Could you listen? Could you listen? Can you hear me? Nigel, can you sing along to it live? Because we can't hear
it. Yes, I will do. Yeah, here we go. Here we go.
Okay.
Only when I listen to Miley's song, the best singer in the world. So many songs to me. Happy all the time. The world sings her song. Makes you happy too. Only when I sing to Miley's song, great singer in the world. Only when I sing to Miley's song, the best singer in the world. She makes me happy, she makes me happy.
song to you. That was it.
It was very nice.
Okay, let me just say...
It's a nice tune, isn't it?
It's a great... It's absolutely great. It's absolutely great. Let me apologise. I'm just... Hang on, Nigel, because I'm talking on my show. I shouldn't have told Angel to piss off. That was rude of me. Let me retract that immediately. I retract that. That was rude of me. But just, you know, just let me do my job, okay? I shouldn't have spoken to you in that rude way. That was unnecessary, and I apologise. But, you know, you did say FFS. But then I know what one of those F stands for. I don't know which one it is, but I know what one of them stands for, and when I find out. But I apologise, Angel, for speaking to you like that. But, I think you're wrong. Let me just say. Right, Nigel, go on.
Yes. What was that again? Rainbow. George?
Rainbow Land.
Rainbow Land on YouTube.
Ian Dury.
Yes, Ian Dury, yes.
Yeah.
And the words are on there, the words are on there, are they?
Yeah. I'm sure you could put some lovely music to it.
A tune to it, yeah. Yeah. And would that make number one, do you think, if it was processed?
I think it would have every chance.
Nigel, thanks for your call, mate. That was a really lovely song. I really enjoyed it. Thank you, Nigel. Take care. And that's where I have a problem with you, George. That's where I actually have a problem and have to step in.
What's the problem?
The problem is Nigel struggles with things. And he's just asked you if that could get to number one, and you're telling him it would stand a good chance. That's where I have to step in, because that is manipulative and that is cruel.
I'm not looking for anything. I'm trying to give something away.
Asked you, a vulnerable person specifically asked you a genuine, heartfelt question, could that get to number one?
Of course it could.
Oh, shut up. Shut up. Rubbish.
Well,
rubbish. Dangerous, manipulative rubbish. I will not let you string a caller on like that. I've got a lot of time and respect.
I've got to
shut up.
One.
Now you're talking rubbish, right?
Why am I talking rubbish?
Because Nigel is a very precious soul who asks questions that a child would ask and believes in the answers, and you've given him false hope. Shame on you, George. Shame on you. You should know better. Mm-hmm. I won't let you do it on my show. If you want to get in touch with him and do it privately, that's another matter. But I really would expect better from someone
this
like you.
Gonna
Shame
be,
on you.
This is going to be my penultimate call.
No. It's your ultimate call. Thanks for your time, George. I'm not having him. Listen, lie to me, bullshit me, do all that. That's fine. I'm not having him string Nigel on like that. Nigel needs to be protected, right, from people like that. Is it going to get to number one? Yeah, sure, it could do. Nah, I'm not having that, George. I'm not having that. Is that too much, Catherine?
No, because the worry is with Nigel is that because of the financial problems, is that he could start pinning hopes on it and starting, you know.
Yeah. I'm not having that.
Be really careful.
I'm not having that at all. I've got a duty to protect some of these people, and I will not have George. George, you can call in, but also don't dictate this is going to be my penultimate call. A load of old rubbish. If you want to call in, but you're going to be challenged, and I will not let you manipulate and lie to and lead on. You claim to be a spiritual person, and yet you're going to lie to someone like that, someone who believes that stuff. Someone who, when I recorded a song, thought that we were going to make hundreds of thousands of pounds. I sent him 35 quid out of my own pocket, because we made about 25 quid. You can't do it, mate.
He did get quite distressed about it, thinking he was going to hit it big time, didn't he?
Can't do it, George. Sorry, mate, not on this show. Go and do it on Dot on Show. Go and do it somewhere else where you get even less time and less freedom, not having it on my show.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
What's going on? Something's happening to me. There's a chemical imbalance taking place in my brain that is causing me to... I think I was right there with George to call him out for that, definitely. That was actually quite unpleasant, the way he blithely led Nigel on. But I'm getting angry and snappy at things when I wouldn't normally get angry and snappy. And I felt a little bit down today. Don't quite know why. A little bit because the boys have gone and so the house is empty. But something's... My chemicals are imbalanced, so I apologise for being a dick the last 15 minutes or so. So it just felt like a weird show today. It just felt like I've not quite got up to speed yet.
Oh, well, there've been too many funny bits.
How do you reckon?
Yeah, I know.
I want to cry, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
I want to cry. I will go home and I will do that, and that's absolutely It's absolutely fine.
It's frustrating. But you've had a really long weekend with the kids, and the thing is about you is that you don't just sit around the house and chill out.
Yeah.
You're on the go the whole time.
I've had 8 weeks of feeling excellent.
Yeah.
And,
be fine.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, dear listener. We may have been uncomfortable listening. I don't know. 0344 499 1000. Let's go to Chris. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening.
Good evening, Chris.
How are you?
Excellent, mate. But what can we do for? As I just said, what can we do for you?
Sometimes I feel a little bit sorry for that Rainbow George, but. He does sound a pain in the ass, doesn't he?
Sometimes I feel sorry for him as well.
Some of the things he spouts off about.
Okay. Well, George isn't here now, so what have you called in about, Chris?
Oh, I do apologise, sorry. Right. I rang in because even though he was kind enough to say that, give me a free ticket to go and watch young Catherine down in Bath next month. I don't think I can make it.
Okay, mate, well, that's a shame. Any reason why?
I'd love to go. You know, I love listening to your show. But there you are. See, I've booked another show. Swansea Grand Theatre.
Sorry? What? Hang on. What? Sorry?
He's got something better to do.
What? Who are you seeing instead of us?
You better be Shirley Bassey or something.
Oh, Jones and Wendell.
That's racist, that is, Carolyn.
Why?
Carolyn. It is racist, Carolyn.
Sorry.
It's very sexist of you not to remember my name.
I know. I'm terrible
it's
at
so
that.
It's racist, Carolyn.
I've had ex-girlfriends, I've called them.
Carolyn. Racist Carolyn.
Inappropriate names.
Okay. Who are you going to see?
Rob Brydon, Lee Mack, and David Mitchell.
Doing what? Kissing each other?
Mixed martial arts.
Is it MMA? With David Mitchell?
Say again.
Cage fighting.
With David Mitchell? Is it karate with David Mitchell?
What if...
Is it capoeira?
With David Mitchell.
It's in the Grand Swansea Grand Theatre. So
yeah. Thai boxing.
It's
with David Mitchell.
It might surprise me. Actually, they might have a sort of a cage fighting ring in the Grand, which I've never seen before.
On the 7th of September, when me and Catherine Bath.
No, it's not. It's on the 20th of September.
Right. So because you're going to see a show, you're going to go and see a jiu-jitsu show with David Mitchell on the 20th of September, you can't come and see a free show because we're giving you a ticket to see me and Catherine on the 7th of September. I'm a little bit confused by that, buddy.
Don't make me feel guilty now.
Looking forward to this explanation.
It's like 13 days off. Are you going to walk it or something?
Well, I used to love mountain biking.
Okay.
Many years ago.
Okay.
With David Mitchell.
I've still got the 1 a.m. Sky Plus to watch.
Yeah.
So why can't you come to our show that's 13 days before the other show you're going to that you said was the reason you couldn't come to our show?
I told you the other night I get scared when I my French friend, she's not coming with me. I booked myself into the Hilton Hotel and then I end up getting lost.
Okay. Well,
just so you don't
fancy coming.
We can't face it. That's okay.
That's okay.
Right, I know Bath, or Bath, how do you pronounce it?
Bath.
Bath.
How do you pronounce it? Scones or scones?
Bath.
Scones or scones?
Bath. It's Bath.
Like, you both
bath.
Talking over each other now.
Bath.
B-A-T-S.
Bath.
Is it B-A-T-H-E?
That's bathe.
We both agree on that.
Okay, so you're not coming. Okay, that's okay. No worries, man.
No. I didn't say I wasn't coming.
You literally did. You literally did say you weren't coming.
I said I'm... Right, so...
You opened up by saying I can't come because I'm going to go and see Kung Fu, the Shaolin Monks with David Mitchell. And now you're saying that you might come.
Well...
It doesn't matter.
Chris,
you don't owe us anything. It doesn't matter. That's a shame. We'd have liked to have seen you.
Because I come along with my white cane. You know, it's not like a fashion item for me.
Yeah, I know blind people have white canes, I get it.
Oh, where am I going now?
Chris, it's fine. We're sorry that you won't be there. We would like to meet you. We'd like to meet your white cane. But you're not coming, and that's fine. That's cool. Go and see David Mitchell doing martial arts. That's fine, Matt. Honestly, that's fine. I hope you enjoy it.
So, where's this little place? Is it in the centre of Bath?
It's not any of your business if you're not coming to it.
Oh, so you're banning
him now? It's classified information only for those...
He thinks you're banning him now.
It's classified information only for those who are prepared to actually come to the venue. We can't just give out the address of the Rondo Theatre willy-nilly in case a jihadist gets hold of the information.
So where's the Rondo Theatre? Is it close to the Hilton Hotel in Bath?
I'm afraid I don't know where the Hilton Hotel in Bath is.
Well, it's on the main sort of...
Ah.
It's near Waitrose.
Ah, right. I still don't know where that is.
Oh, right.
Okay. Chris, it's absolutely fine you're not coming. Maybe you pop along. We tend to be in Bath once a year, so maybe we'll see you next year.
Oh, I'm going to come up there and wind you up.
So you're going to come on the 7th?
I'm going to have to get my fears out of myself.
Okay, get your fears out of yourself.
Pardon?
Get your fears out of yourself.
Oh, I do by... Sorry, I'm going Welsh now. I my fears are terrible. I think,
Listen, Chris, see how you feel. No pressure. If you don't fancy it, then...
No, I'd love to... Because, honestly, I have watched one of your shows on one of your streaming things.
One of
you've
them,
done.
Gosh. Okay.
Hi.
Okay. All right, Chris, I'm losing the will today, mate. Maybe we'll see you, maybe we won't. Thanks, you go.
What?
0344 499 1000. I'm just losing the will to live. Good God, let's play a trail.
Unconventional after-hours radio that you won't hear anywhere else.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Neon lit night talk for torch singers, trolley dollies and train wrecks like me.
Jack Commando.
Never know just where the conversation will take you.
Well, a human being isn't a dog.
No.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. Tomorrow night from 10 on Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000. Let's take a call straight to air for the last half an hour show. Very strange vibe, slightly dark vibe. That's just the way it goes sometimes, man. That's just the way it goes. Lance says, way to go, Ian. Bullying a mental old guy make you feel good. Don't it make you feel good?
He's mental.
I think he's calling you a mental old guy, Catherine.
Gosh.
Villa says, I agree with what you said to George. You know your regular causing. You know when you need to help them pull them up. Pete says, I think you were right to lay down the law with George, but I feel like he probably does believe half the stuff he says. Nat says, if I had a choice of seeing Rob Ryden and Ian Lee, I'd know I'd go for Rob Ryden. But it's not a choice, you absolute pudding. But
they're 2 weeks apart.
Yes. For crying out loud.
I don't think that's the issue anyway.
No, it's, you know, he's a nervous guy. I don't know. 0344 499 1000. Steve Jobs is alive.
What?
Yeah.
Does his wife know?
Conspiracy theorists. Gotta love the old conspiracy theorists, haven't you, Line One?
I think you were right to lay down the law with George.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Could you turn your radio off, please?
Yes. Alexa, off.
You're on the
Hello?
Air. Hello, what can we do for you?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air. What can we do for you?
Now, I've got really nervous because I've never, ever, ever done this before.
That's okay. There's nothing to be nervous about. There's no rush. Just you, me and Kath having a chat. Don't know who you are, don't know your name, don't know anything about you, and that's, you can keep it that way if it makes it easier.
Are you Ian?
Yeah.
You don't sound like
him. No, I sound different on the phone.
Hello, Ian.
Hello. Who's this?
Mel.
Hello, Mel. What can we do for you?
I don't want to bring your show down. I'm in a, not in a good place at the moment.
Don't worry about bringing the show down. It's kind of down anyway. In what way not in a good place?
Depression, anxiety-wise.
So what's going on for you today?
Am I really talking to Ian?
Yeah, yeah. Kath's here as well. Say hello, Hi. Kath.
Yeah, I am.
There you go.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, God.
Silly, isn't it? Can I ask, have you taken any drugs or anything tonight?
What, me?
Yeah, yeah, you.
No.
Okay. Have you had a drink or anything?
I've had a little drink.
Okay. There we go. I'm not saying you're out of it or anything. I just knew there was a slight relaxed vibe to this call. I just wanted to make sure I knew what we were dealing with.
You know, it's weird. My body doesn't feel relaxed. I'm shaking.
Yeah. Your voice sounds relaxed.
Does my voice sound relaxed?
Your voice sounds very relaxed, yeah.
It's because I'm talking to a nice person. And there's a lot of nice people. In this journey, see, I call depression the beast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, in this journey, I've met some wonderful people.
There are some very, very good people out there.
There are. I'm just at the point, though, where nobody knows what to do with me. I have no family. I've got a son, and he's struggling because he's seeing his mum get worse and worse.
Yeah. How old's your son?
He's 21.
Okay. So, all right, well...
He lives with me.
Okay, but he is at an age where he can also take care of himself.
To a point,
but it's not
because
like...
Because I did everything for years.
Yeah, but it's not like you've got a 7 or 8-year-old that's seeing it. It's a 21-year-old, and it's hard work for a 21-year-old young man to see their mum ill. I know, I've been there, but I'd rather a 21-year-old than a 7-year-old.
Yeah.
So what do you want to change in your life?
I want to get out of this depression.
Okay. And but what does that mean?
I had a lot of years. Depression hit me when I was 37.
Yeah.
I was always an anxious child and had difficulties, but I never hit depression. I was never, you know, on any medication for depression or anything like that. But when I was 37, it hit me.
Mm.
It was postnatal depression.
Mm.
And then I got a few years better from that. And it hit me again when my marriage broke up.
How long ago did your marriage break up?
Oh, might seem a long time ago, but it seems like yesterday, but it was 14 years ago.
Yeah, well, it can be devastating for a really long time. Are you seeing a doctor? Have you spoken to a doctor about this?
But I don't think they even know what to do. They don't know what to do because it's impacted on me very badly physically. I can't eat. It's not anorexia, it's not bulimia, but it is very psychological and physiological.
Mm.
I know that. And I just can't out eat. I try and eat and I'm sick every time I eat. I don't know whether you ever had that.
No. I would lose my appetite sometimes with depression. But I certainly didn't throw up. I just lost my appetite and was unable to eat. So how come you've managed to survive so far? Because you have survived, and it's amazing you survived, and you brought your son up, and that is a tough gig. So what do you think has made you get through all of this up until now?
Love for my son.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what to say to you, Mel. All I can tell you is it can change and it can get better. I don't know how it will change and what needs to be done for it to get better for you, but I know from my own personal experience that things can change and that you you can be happy.
You inspire me.
Okay, well, that's very kind. Thank you. I would suggest you also look for others to inspire you, and that can be in art or in music or in friendship or in fiction or in... I read some great books about depression when I was at my lowest. Some really, really good books.
Ian, can I butt in a minute?
You can butt in a minute, Mel, yes.
Because of my malnutrition, I've got optic nerve damage.
Okay.
And I lost my eyesight.
Oh, blimey. Well, you can get audiobooks.
Well, that is something to do when I can get myself to get... I mean,
maybe your son could download a couple of audiobooks for you.
Hopefully.
Why don't you ask him? Here's a scam. I'm going to teach you a scam, which I shouldn't really be telling, right? But there's a website called Audible, right? And
yeah.
you join up and they give you an audiobook for free, right? And you join up for free. It's free for the first month. They give you an audiobook. You download it. You can then cancel it immediately and send that book back. So you keep it, but they then give you another audiobook for free. You can do that a couple of times and then you can cancel your membership. So you can get 2, 3, 4 audiobooks for free and you cancel your membership. And I'm sure a 21-year-old man could work out how to do that.
He's struggling though, Ian.
He's struggling.
Mm.
Yeah, he could work out how to download a couple of books for his mum.
Hopefully,
yeah. If you ask him, I'm sure he could.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
I don't like to ask him to do anything for me.
Okay. Well, that's your choice. I think that's a pretty easy thing you could ask him to do, that with even the barest minimum of computer knowledge, he could do.
Oh, he's got a lot. He's very...
Beautiful. Okay. I'm sure he'd be happy to do it.
He's very okay on that.
Yeah. Mel, listen, keep listening. We're here every Monday to Friday, as you know. And you're welcome to call in any time you want. Have you tried the Samaritans?
Yes.
Yeah? How did that go for you?
Yeah, it's helped a few times.
Yeah.
I try not to do it too much. I mean, I am very lonely because I also I lost my eyesight last year, and I also, my mum and dad both died last year within 2 months of each other.
Blimey. You've had a really bad run of it.
It's just been a lot to take on. I think it would be for anybody that wasn't already depressed, but I was already ill before they died.
It's a lot to take on, and you've done really, really well. I hope this doesn't sound patronising, because I mean it. You've done really, really well to have survived. And you should be very proud of that.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03444991000. Call straight to air for the last few minutes of the show. Hello, line one, you're on the wireless. Oh, no, you're not. I've not got the fader up. Hello, line one, you're on the wireless now.
Hello, Ian.
Hello, line one.
It's Val.
Hello, Val.
Hiya. How you doing?
Very, very well. What can we do for you tonight, Val?
I just thought I'd say hello.
Hello. There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. Short and sweet. I like it. Let's go to line two. Hello, line two. You're on the wireless.
Hello.
Oh, blah. Hello, line two.
Sorry to ring you again, Ian.
That's okay, Chris. Let's make it snappy.
Okay, very quickly. Okay, I was just listening to that woman, and she was saying she's losing her sight.
Yes.
And I felt a bit sorry for her. You was telling her about audio books and things. I used to teach blind and partially sighted to people.
Yes.
And I still know technology that, you know, you can help when your sight is going or gone.
Yep.
So it's not. So I felt slightly sad for her, actually.
Okay.
So I do apologise for ringing you up again.
That's okay.
So, I don't know, there's like RNIB she could ring up, or...
Yeah, I'm sure. There are plenty of places that will help people in that position, Chris, and I appreciate you sharing your thoughts on that. Let's go to line two. Two, you're on the wireless.
Hey, Ian.
Hello, line two.
Ian, I don't know where to begin, really. It was just an impulsive call, this one, just to say that I'm kind of returning to talk radio after quite a long time being away. I've discovered, obviously, you're back on here over the last week or so, and you just need to be told that what you're doing is invaluable, particularly with callers like Mel, and even what she's doing as well. What a caller. I mean, does she realise how she's helping other callers, or listeners rather, as well? Because there are so many people out there. I'm not going to mention the B word, but we keep hearing the repetitive stuff. Listen, you and I grew up listening to London's talk radio station, as it was the only one at the time. But you know what? It's pretty much non-existent now, the competition. And no, really, we should be talking about this stuff more.
I listen, me and Kath agree. That's why we called this show the Late Night Alternative. Not because it's some crazy, wacky name, but because we genuinely believe that we want to present an alternative to... I mean, what? Okay, so we do a phone-in for 3 hours about Brexit. Well, so what? That doesn't achieve anything. Nothing changes. It's just a chance to scare people and get people angry. People like Mel... you're right. That's what's important. That's what's important. You mix it up with a bit of laughter and a little bit of nonsense and a bit of silliness. That's what's important.
Exactly. I mean, we can all set the agenda, but again, there's clearly one out there that people need, want, and the fact that you accommodate it the way you do. Again, I've only recently learned that you've been through a lot yourself personally. Dare I say, I wasn't a great follower of yours back in the early days of your career on talk-based radio. But clearly, you're just a human being like everyone else, and no one, no matter how great and perfect they present themselves, that facade, you know, they walk away. We've read it all before with the people that have been film stars, that sort of thing. When they crawl back to their abode, they're just like you and me.
Have we spoken before?
We haven't, Ian, no.
Oh, and, your voice sounds really familiar, that's all.
Oh, well, hopefully you've come across a couple of my attempts to get something going online personally, because it's always good. Again, I've used, shall we say, live streaming, that sort of thing,
yeah.
And it's, I've had a bit of a tough year. I don't want to make this about me.
No,
I've been through something that I've only heard again over the, four or so decades that I've tuned into this type of radio.
Yeah.
I've been through something that the system has bestowed upon me when it comes to being a father, a new father.
Yeah.
I'm happy to just leave it at the fact that my son has been in care since the third day on planet Earth, day on planet Earth. He's now 13 months old. We're still dealing with it. It's a very long thing that I couldn't even begin to go in doing now. But at the end of the day, look, I'm speaking with you now. I just count myself lucky. It's too easy to forget that just somewhere not too far along the road from where you are now, there's someone else in far more dire straits.
Mate, it's nice to talk to you. I hope we get to speak again, and thank you for your call.
I'll call again. Thanks, Ian.
Cheers, man. There you go. Thank you very much indeed. Isn't it funny? Your voice sounds familiar, but we've never spoken. Mm. That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. Let us go to line three. Three, you're on the wireless.
Is that myself?
That's you.
It's me. Hey, Ian, you're all right.
I'm all right.
It was just a quick call. I've never rung your show before. I spoke to Paul a few times.
Yeah.
It was just to commend you, really, and I handled that call with, was her name Mel?
With Mel, yeah.
I just thought you handled that brilliantly. It's one of my many failings, I suppose, that I'm really rubbish at dealing with people when they're upset. And, you know, they need a shoulders to cry and or a bit of a
it's tough to know what to say. It's tough to know what to say, and I personally I find it easier dealing with men than women in those situations, and I'm not sure if I was particularly great with Mel, but I appreciate what you're saying. Thank you, man.
All right, cheers, mate.
It's a nice call. Thank you. And also, never if you don't know what to say in those situations, never feel bad about it. It's not a bad thing. It's I only know. I don't know this stuff.
People aren't ringing you up for you to fix them.
No. One or two, I think. But line three, you're on the wireless.
Hi, Ian. Hi, Kath. It's Cara.
Hello, Cara. Are you in the same room as the telephone?
Yeah, why is it bad?
It's really quiet.
You sound really far away.
You sound tiny.
I am tiny. I'm only 5 foot. Can you hear me now?
That would be it. You sound 5 foot.
I sound 5 foot. Is it really bad?
No, it's not really bad. It's fine. What you got for us, Cara?
Okay. Well, just a quick one, obviously, because I know you're near in the end of the show.
Yes.
But this is quite a hard call to make, but I'm just kind of hoping it might help somebody out there.
Yeah.
Am I able to share something quickly with you?
Yeah, of course you can. Go on.
Well, for the past 3 years, I've suffered terribly with depression as well, and I did tell you before briefly that I was burgled and assaulted while I was in my house.
Yeah.
And that took me on a downward spiral, and it just been awful. My children were suffering, everything was suffering because of the way I was. So New Year's Eve last year, I decided to take that control back, and it may seem silly, but I messaged the guy who did it. I found him on Facebook, and I messaged him. Can I read you the message? There's no name or anything.
Please do.
It just says, "Hi, I don't know if you'll see this, and if you do, I don't expect a reply, as that would take guts. You may remember me." Sorry, I'm a bit like...
Yeah.
"I am the woman you chose to rob and assault on the 31st of October 2016 at 1:15 p.m. Yes, this date and time has been etched into my memory. I don't know your reasons for what you did that day. You must have been pretty desperate to do something so stupid. My reason for this message is since that day I've been like a prisoner in my own home. You took so much more than money from myself and my children that day. I was a strong, independent woman and you broke me. I was put on medication for post-traumatic stress disorder and lived in fear. I say lived as this is now not the case. It's taken time, but I've fought my way back and I now feel stronger than ever. I faced you alone. I stopped you from taking the little we have built up over the years, and I won. You got the punishment you deserved. Now it's time for me to let go and move on for good. I wish you no harm. I actually pity you. Most importantly, I forgive you. Not for you, but for the sake of myself and my family. I hope you're staying out of trouble and have learnt something, anything, from what you did that day. You have the chance to turn your life around and make your family proud. Don't let them down again. Happy New Year.
Oh, mate.
Mic drop.
Clara, that's amazing on, like, I can, at least seven levels I've picked up on the amazing stuff there. That's incredible.
I'm shaking as I'm even reading it out.
I bet you are. And you sent that?
Yeah, I sent it.
Did you get a reply?
I never got a reply, no.
No, that's almost irrelevant.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter because I've said it, I've got it out there, and do you know what? Since that day, it's obviously not gone, it's never going to go away, but it's, wow. I've changed a lot in myself since then. I thought, do you know what? No, I'm not that person, I'm not that pathetic woman, and you're not doing that to me. He's 2 years older than my daughter, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
So it's all about how you react, how you... You've got to decide that that's enough and it's time to turn your life around. And it does work. Believe me, it does work.
Wow.
I have nothing to add to that apart from that's one of the most incredible things I've ever heard, that what you wrote there.
Don't mess with a 5-foot woman.
No, that's an example of that thing that we've been trying to drum home recently, personally, which is you can't control other people's behaviour. But you can control your reaction to it.
How you react to it, precisely. And for too long, I was sleeping with a crowbar. My children saw me doing that.
Yeah.
The slightest noise, and I'd jump, and I'd be crying all the time. And I thought, who are you? I didn't even recognise myself. But since I've sent that message, it's just changed. It's changed in my head. I've turned it around, and now I'm starting to go out the house more. And, you know, I mean, I go outside the front door now, even when it's dark. Do you know what I mean? It's just not, I walk the dog. I wouldn't do that before.
You're amazing. Yeah. You're amazing. And that's brilliant. Yeah. I'm really, really pleased you shared that with us. And I feel honoured to have heard you read that out. So thank you.
Thank you. I just hope it can help someone. You know, love to everyone, you guys and all your callers.
There you go. Thank you very much indeed. Come in, Paul. Whoa, that was amazing. That was amazing. My old Paul is getting in position. Let's just take one more quick call. Hello, line two. You're on the wireless.
Hello.
Hello, Lanty. We haven't got much time, I'm afraid, so make it snappy.
That's all right. I wasn't planning on calling, but it's been quite a heavy show, so I thought I'd cheer you both up with a bit of a tickle, tickle, tickle.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Let's go to Sloop John B. Good evening, Sloop. Oh, let's try again.
Good evening, again, Sloop. Who does?
We missed the beginning of that because the fader was down. I apologise. And take two.
It's too bad she won't live. But then again, who does? That was a line from a film you've been throwing shade at, but that's not why I called it.
What film have I been throwing shade at?
Blade Runner.
Oh, it's a terrible movie.
It's a classic. I'm not going to fall out with you over it, but you're wrong in this.
It sounds like you are falling out with me over it because you know I'm right. Everyone thinks it's great and it's arty and it's like art science fiction. No, it's not. It's boring crap.
It's beautiful.
I'm not going to go there, but I wanted to talk to you about, you were talking about weird vibes and something in the air.
Oh, yeah.
Something crazy happened to me tonight.
Yeah.
And I think it's something universal. I saw a guy basically get knocked off his bike in the middle of Finchley Road. Yeah. It's okay. He's okay, man. He's in hospital now. But it's more the way people acted. That was kind of, you just thought, like, what's going on? You know? And I was walking down the Finchley Road. And basically, there was a guy in the middle of the road trying to stop the cars, and they were all getting aggressive and just trying to get past him. And as I looked to the side of him, there's a guy lying in a heap with his bike on top of him.
Right.
And I just was like, what the... You know, so I said, right, well, if everyone's just going to stand on the side of the road, not trying to be a hero, but I just was like, right. So I walked into the traffic and was trying to say, look, can you please stop?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So we got the guy to the side of the road.
And no one was stopping the traffic.
Some were stopping.
I jumped in front of a car the other week, right, in a busy road. I jumped in front of a car with my arm out because a dog had run into the road. So no one was doing it for a human. Wow.
Yeah, but this is where it gets weirder. So the chap, Dan, who had, what happened was his wheel had broken and it flipped like a pancake over.
Yeah.
So basically, we got him to the side of the road. It was outside a place called the O2 Stench. Anyone who knows Finchley Road will know it. Big sort of place.
Yeah.
And there was another chap, Andy, had been stopping the car. So we're basically talking to him, and I called up 999. You know, I said, what else would you do? And a guy with a can of beer comes along, and basically he's like, what are you looking at? Well, you know, I had to put my hand on the phone and go, mate, I'm trying to call an ambulance for this guy. So your man's standing there and getting quite aggro and kicking the sort of iron railing.
Hang on, I missed a bit. Why was there a guy with a can getting angry with you?
He just appeared from nowhere, but as I was on the phone with the emergency services, like trying to say to him, look, you know, he's in shock, he's quite shaky, this guy's kind of gone to me, what are you looking at?
What?
And he made it sort of like it was a joke, but it wasn't. So I said, sorry, mate, yeah, no, I'm just trying to call the ambulance, right? So he's then kicking the iron railings, getting a bit annoyed, and this guy Andy's looking at me going, oh, what's going on? Then I speak to the ambulance, and they're like, right, it's going to be, well, we don't know how long it's going to take or what have you, but it could be a while, so we're waiting there. And a guy in a 4x4 car starts trying to basically reverse and park and bully us out of where we are.
What?
Yeah, but this is better. I knocked on the window, and I was trying, you know, being polite, and he's staring at me. I'm like, can you lower your window? I just need to talk to you. Maybe he didn't see Dan, who was bleeding in a bad way, but anyway, he's gone, you know, looked at me, and I've gone, this guy's just come off his bike. He's had a bad accident. We actually need this space for the ambulance. And he basically rolled his eyes and drove off.
What is going on? This is Brexit. Yeah. This is Brexit personified.
Well, what I'm trying to say is that do you ever look at things in life and just go, people, man? Because he drove off. And I just thought to myself, you could have even asked, like, could we take him to the Royal Free or what have you? So what I was going to say was, yeah, do you ever, there's times like that you just go, oh, okay, I give up on humanity, you know.
But, yeah, I get that every night between 10 and 1.
from the people you talk to. But the thing was, what I was going to say was, the fact that years ago I had therapy when I was quite ill, that sort of helped me, you know. Yeah. And I turned around to Andy afterwards and I went, whatever's going on in that guy's life, you know,
yeah,
I hope it gets better.
Sloop, well done, man. You did a good thing and you helped a man's life. And that's, you know, that's something to you can take tonight when you go to bed. And then it sounds like I'm saying you should masturbate over it. Not at all. I'm saying what you've done is you've done a really, really good thing.
Wow.
And you can sleep well tonight after you've masturbated about it, which would be weird. But if that's what you want to do, brother, you've deserved it.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best. Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Let's go to Lewis. Good evening, Lewis.
Hello.
Hello, Lewis.
How are you?
I'm all right. What you got?
I'm just sort of responding to a couple of phone calls ago when you were literally abusing someone, saying that, yeah, that you could... Well, you called him a dickhead.
Who was I abusing?
I don't know the names, but was it someone that is a regular? It sounded like a regular phone caller to you.
Can you turn your radio off, please, Lewis?
Yes, mate.
You don't even know who I was talking to or what I was talking about. Try again. Turn your radio off and try again.
No.
Turn your radio off and try again, because I've got no idea what you're talking about, Lewis.
I'll turn the radio off.
And try again, because I don't know what you're talking about. You've not been very clear so far. So try again.
Okay. Well, I'll turn the radio off. I think it's someone about,
God, drunk people are so frustrating.
I don't know, but basically, pardon?
I said drunk people are so frustrating, don't you think?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they are. Who did I call a dickhead? And what were they talking about? Let's get some context.
Yeah, so you called someone a dickhead.
All right, who was it and what were they talking about? Can we try and get some context, please?
Yeah, but you've abused quite a lot of
people. Yeah, could you... No. Let's talk about this one specific incident. Who did I call a dickhead and what was... I got the fader. Who was I calling a dickhead and what were they talking about? Let's try and focus on that.
Look, I've just said to you...
Lewis, answer the question or I'm going to say goodbye to you, mate. Who did I call a dickhead?
I've just said to you, I can't remember his name.
Right, okay, what were they talking about?
being sort of depressed and stuff like that.
I didn't call, call someone who was depressed a dickhead, Lewis. Try again, mate. Try again.
You did.
No,
you
I didn't.
You said,
try
you
again.
Did.
Lewis.
You did.
Lewis.
I can't believe you had this job. You're a complete...
Oh, go away. Go away, Lewis. I can't believe you have a telephone when you're a complete arsehole. Let's go to Steve. Hey, Steve.
Scrambled eggs. Oh, my baby, how I love your legs.
Hang on a minute. Was that... What, you're right. So yesterday was scrambled eggs, right? That was... We dreamt the tune and he woke up and he didn't write lyrics to it because he thought it was a famous tune, like Paul McCartney. And it was morning time, so he'd been scrambled eggs. What were the rest of the words to scrambled eggs then?
He said, oh, baby, I love your legs, but not as much as scrambled eggs. Something scrambled eggs.
In many ways... Better than the lyrics to yesterday, I think. Don't you agree, Catherine? Scrambled eggs.
I've had some rubbish scrambled eggs,
baby,
though.
I love your legs. Okay, all right. I don't believe a single story Paul McCartney tells about his songwriting.
No, I think he enjoys toying.
Yeah, he's the greatest PR machine of all time.
I'm never going to forget the part of the book that I read from very early on when he was post-Beatles and the press kept traipsing up to his farmhouse door and he threw a bucket of cack on one of them.
Yeah.
And I think that that's continued, but this time in terms of stories.
But then do you know, they took pictures of him.
Yeah,
then what happened?
He thought, oh God, I'm going to look mad. So he got the whole family into the Land Rover,
yeah,
trundled after them and offered them some begrudging pictures.
Yeah.
But which probably earned them quite a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, he's great. I love McCartney.
But anyway, I do think he has a healthy disrespect for the press.
Anyway, big Steve, what can we do for you?
Well, guess what my favourite film of all time is?
Blade Runner. Blade Runner 2049.
No, the original.
Blade Runner.
Yes.
So you phone up for a fist fight.
For a what?
Fist fight.
Oh, no, not necessarily.
Okay.
I've got the feeling that people have been phoning in quite a lot about Blade Runner tonight.
No.
Well, have you been listening?
I heard two...
Thanks very much for your call. If you're going to phone in... Well, you don't actually have to have listened. But don't phone in and say...
And have a guess at what people have been saying.
A bloke with mental health, I called him a dickhead. Hang on a second, there we go. There we go. It's going to be... Yes, Lewis?
Hello. I couldn't really spit my words out then. A bit intimidating because I was online.
Could you turn your radio off, Lewis? And I'll tell you why it was intimidating, because you're talking out your arse, mate. You're a dickhead.
Excuse me, what?
Excuse me, what?
Some people need to go to bed.
Pardon, what?
This is my best reaction I've ever heard. This is a wind-up, right? This has got to be a wind-up.
You told someone not to kill themselves, but carry on cutting themselves.
No!
Oh, I see.
You did.
No, I didn't.
That's what,
I literally
that's
didn't.
What
Lewis,
said online.
Lewis, you're embarrassing.
I hope you don't.
Lewis, you're embarrassing yourself, mate. You're embarrassing yourself. Listen, put the phone down, buddy. Put the bottle down. Go to bed. Yeah. I told someone, don't kill yourself, carry on cutting yourself. That's what I told him, Lewis. Of course I did. That's my advice.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Thanks
yeah.
a lot. Lewis, thanks a lot for your call, mate. Got time to go to bed, I think,
God.
Buddy. Time to go
you
to bed.
You cannot tell people that on the radio.
No, you can't.
You can't. That's why I didn't. Thanks for your call, Lewis. You have a great night.
That's incredible.
Isn't it? Incredible totally. That someone so stupid could find out phone numbers and dial them.
I don't say stupid.
You're stupid. Like, you're stupid.
This is... I didn't say you were stupid.
No, I'm saying you're stupid. I'm saying you're the thickest caller I've ever spoken to in my life. And I've spoken to some thick people. You don't deserve a telephone. You don't deserve a radio. You don't deserve to even speak to me because you're so dumb.
Oh, my God. Wow. Okay.
Thanks for your call, Lewis. Take care, mate. Have a great night.
No, that you cannot speak to people like that.
I'm speaking to you like that because you deserve it. Because you're nasty and you're a liar. and you're a fantasist, and you're obnoxiously drunk, and you're sick. But have
what
a great night, Lewis.
About?
Have a great night, Lewis. Lovely
oh
to talk to you, buddy.
God, how do you have your job? That is incredible.
I get paid a lot of money.
Absolutely incredible.
I get paid a lot of money
you
to
get paid
sort
a
out.
Lot of money.
Yeah, I do. To sort out the wheat from the chaff, and you're pure chaff.
Oh my
you're the
my
purest God. Chaff I've ever had the misfortune to finger.
That's incredible.
Okay. I ban you from listening to my show ever again. You are forbidden from listening to my show. I forbid it. And if I find you listening to my show, there's going to be consequences.
Oh, I would love it. I would love it.
Go oh, on, there's good. If I, on. Oh, I'll bring it on, baby. If I ever find out you've been listening, shut your face, you knobhead. If I ever find out you're a knobhead. You're a knobhead. You dropped an F-bomb. You lost the argument. Thank you, Lewis. Seriously, if I ever find out you've been listening to my show, I will come round and I will put shit through your letterbox. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000 is the phone number. Let's go to Susan. Good evening, Susan.
Good evening, Ian. Good evening, Katarina.
Hello, Susan.
Let's make it quick, Susan, please.
Right. I want some advice from you guys, please. I like the advice you give, okay? I just like it. I think you're good, you know? You're pretty cool on advice.
I'm not in an advice kind of mood tonight. I think we've done enough advice tonight, so I'm going to pass, if that's okay.
It's not complicated.
That's like, well, then you can work it out yourself, I'm sure.
No.
Yeah, I'm not.
I want Katarina to do it.
Unlucky,
you
mate.
You don't want to do it.
Unlucky. We're not going to do it, Susan.
Katarina.
Don't speak to me like that.
Katarina.
But thanks for your call, Susan. Have a great night.
Katarina.
Good night. Thanks very much for your call. Let's go.
I've got water in my ears, but that might have blasted it out.
Let's go to Chris. Good evening, Chris. Oh, let's try Chris. Good evening, Chris.
I feel a bad caller because you've had some really dodgy callers this evening.
Yep, and it just keeps on going.
I know they're all having a go, Ian.
Yep. Okay. What have you got for us?
And you know, you're not a bad guy, are you?
No,
nope. Catherine.
No, nope. Catherine is not a bad guy. I'm not a bad guy. What have you called him for?
I was going to tell you, I booked my hotel.
Ooh.
Well, don't panic.
Ooh.
For Rob Brydon?
Catherine, no. I'm still going there on the 20th of September.
That's already booked. That's in the bag.
Yes. That sounded awful now.
Okay, let's just get to... I'm really losing patience. Let's just get... You booked the hotel, you're going to come...
Great.
Are you coming to Bath?
Yes.
Yes, hey! Mate!
I get lost going over to the little convenience store.
Okay, so hopefully we'll see you on the 7th. If not... You know, if anyone sees a blind, angry Welshman wandering around Bath, please feed him and water him, but not after midnight.
I'm not blind.
Oh.
I'm not blind.
Okay.
I can still see. People say I can't see. I do carry a white cane. And I.
One of the pretend blind.
No, I don't bloody pretend.
Get to the point, man! Jeez.
Don't get annoyed with me, please.
I'm annoyed with everyone. Everyone's getting right on my nerves tonight. Everyone, Chris.
Sorry. My niece and her husband and the three children came down last Sunday and I took them out for lunch.
Yes.
Mm. And... So I got a filthy habit. I bloody smoke.
You masturbate in pubs.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
I know.
You've got to stop that.
Catherine, give him a slap round the head.
Ow!
Thank you.
My pleasure.
The two twin boys, Right? And I right?
Chris, listen, can we speak tomorrow, please? Would that be all right?
No, they were met, right? They think my white cane is like some...
lightsaber.
Bloody...
Can we talk tomorrow, Chris?
All right, I'm gonna ring the venue up tomorrow.
Yep.
So I know where I'm going to, I'm gonna ask him to help me for assistance to go in there.
Beautiful. We look forward to meeting you on the 7th, and hopefully you're gonna have a great night.
And the people that run Bath are wonderful.
The people that run the theatre in Bath, yeah. The Rondo Theatre. I don't know about the councillors or any of those guys. We can't vouch for them, but the team behind the Rondo Theatre are superb.
I still haven't bought a ticket though.
You don't need one. Your name's on the door, buddy. And if you want to bring a guest, name will be on the door as well.
Oh, thank you, guys. Okay.
Right, we'll see you.
Yeah, I look forward.
We will see you later on, Chris. Thanks a lot, mate. Take care.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye. Thank you, Chris. Still got 24 tickets, I think, for Bath, which is great, which means we sold about 81, something like that.
That's a party.
Lovely numbers. We normally sell about 90 there, so we're on track. IanLee.com/event. We did cancel. We've had to cancel the show in London on the 14th of September. The Rabbit Hole Picture Show is cancelled. We just didn't sell enough tickets, and me and Kath made the call to cancel it. And if you bought a ticket, you will get a refund. And we apologise. That's the way it goes sometimes. Let us go to Julie. Good evening, Julie.
Ian, good evening, Ian.
Good evening.
Hi, Julie. Oh, God. A great start
to
the call.
There we go. Well, luckily the fader was down for the beginnings, because I muffed it up. So I've got to let you know. I might take it later on, but that Lewis guy's still calling in, just flashing up on the screen. I tell you what, if he's still calling at 8:30, I'll put him on the air.
Do you want to take him now?
Not,
I don't mind.
Oh, Julie, you are wicked.
Julie, do you want to talk to him?
Yeah, go on.
All right. Lewis, you're on the air, you're through to Julie. What's your language?
Hi, Lewis.
I don't swear, so anyway.
Well, you did because we heard you, but carry on.
Okay, I'm not really happy about the first time I've really listened to Talk Radio, but for someone to tell me, a host, that they're going to post poo through my door.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that was?
I would like to, speak to like a manager or Ofcom or something like that, please.
Well, I'm in Supervisor, so I can help you.
Don't, because we'll get in trouble.
But you can Google Ofcom.
Okay. He's not. Lewis, Google the number for Ofcom, mate, and say that you want to make a complaint that a host was going to post poo through your letterbox. See how that goes down, buddy.
Yeah.
Okay.
But be warned, they will take the full transcript, including you dropping the F-bomb.
Yeah. Can I ask, Lewis? Crazy. Let me ask, right?
Yeah,
what are you really angry about? We've had a bit of fun, and I'm guessing that the caller who had been doing the self-harm and luckily had stopped it, I feel that it's connected with you in a bigger way.
And it is connected with me, but I'm just like, oh my God, what have I heard?
But I didn't say that. Lewis, seriously, I didn't say it.
No, I'm chatting to you, mate.
Yeah, I know, I'm chatting to you. And you need to listen. I didn't say what you said I said. Turn your radio off, man. Turn your radio off, because otherwise you get confused, because there's a 7-second delay and it will just confuse you. I want to talk to you.
Yes, I know there is. I'm not confused.
Okay, well, it doesn't sound very good from our point of view, so could you turn your radio off, please?
It is off.
It is now. Great. How did that call connect with you?
I was just chilling out, listening to Talk Radio, thinking this is lovely. I don't want music.
No one's ever called this show lovely before, but okay.
But I was just like, oh my God, he's just said like...
I
don't kill yourself, but carry on.
I didn't, Lewis. I literally didn't say it, mate. You misheard it, and I'm sorry you misheard it.
Okay, maybe I did. Maybe I did mishear it, so I'll apologise as well.
That's fine. I accept the apology.
Of course.
I will. I'm gonna. The poo that I've bagged, I'm gonna keep it in the boot of my car. You dodged a brown bullet.
Post it through the next caller.
Yeah, exactly. I post it through Julie. She loves that kind of stuff. I didn't mean it to sound like that. Didn't mean it to sound like that. What's going on with you, Lewis? You sound a little bit drunk, if I'm completely honest. Are you all right, brother?
Oh, no, I'm not drunk. I'm sitting outside looking at the stars with my gorgeous little cocker poo. Oh,
there we go. We're back to poo again. It's the thing that links it all. So you're having a good night?
I do. Yeah, I'm having a lovely evening.
Have a great night. Enjoy it. Listen, enjoy it.
I do appreciate you actually speaking to me again and clarifying it.
There you go. Well, I would never, listen, with this show, you've probably never heard this show before, Lewis. We like to have a laugh. We don't do Brexit, but we do talk about mental health. I would never tell someone to carry on self-harming. I would never do that. I was congratulating the gentleman because he'd stopped it.
Yeah, okay. I obviously misheard.
Yeah.
So I take it all back and I apologise.
I accept your apology and we're back to square one and I'm glad that we're friends.
Yeah, brilliant. All lovely. Right. And I'll now carry on listening to you.
Okay, I look forward to probably speaking to you in a few minutes when you mishear something else.
No, I won't. I promise I won't bring you back.
All right. You're a good man, Lewis. Have a good night.
And you, mate.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, that de-escalated quickly, didn't it?
Thanks, Julie. You did a lot of good work there.
You know.
It's Kofi Annan, isn't it? I turned around. Lewis, we're not laughing at you. We're laughing at how these volatile situations can change so quickly. So thank you. What a night.
What a night.
What a night. What you got for us, Julie?
Well, I was just phoning with an embarrassing situation that I found myself in today. And I wanted.
Were you trying to park a Land Rover and there was like some poor bloke lying in the middle of the road?
Covered in blood.
No, I did something. I was in a supermarket today and I saw something which amused me.
Yeah.
And what it was that there was a woman who was standing in front of the bananas, choosing bananas. And what really amused me was that her backpack was a Minion backpack.
As a grown woman?
Yes.
Lucky her. Lucky her.
She has a Minion backpack, and obviously Minions like bananas. I thought it was quite funny. I got my mobile phone and took a photo. Okay. Because I thought that my kids would find it funny.
Yeah.
The thing I didn't mention is that the lady was...
Here we go.
Oh God.
Here we go.
She was a little person.
It wasn't the Minion backpack. It wasn't the bananas. It was the fact that she looked like a Minion. Is what you're saying?
No, it absolutely was not. But somebody saw me taking a photo and thought that that's why I was taking a photo.
Oh, you're a terrible person.
Yes, said you should be ashamed of yourself.
Yep.
And right. I didn't say anything because then I felt ashamed of myself. But that's not why I was taking it.
Why are you telling us? If you genuinely, in your heart of hearts, know that that's not why you were taking it, then why would you phone us? Bear in mind, you used to call us a lot, and that's cool, and then you stopped. Now you text in Martin Kellner, and you don't hardly call us at all. You...
Also, I noticed the time. I mean, if you were that sorry, you'd have rung us at 10.
Mm.
You've waited until everyone's gone to sleep, haven't you, Julie?
Julie.
I can tell you the reason why. I'm going to college in September to start a counsellor psychotherapy course.
Oh, it's
going to
be on your permanent record.
Right? Mate, I cannot recommend this woman as a counsellor.
And I've been reading this... a couple of nights ago when I was listening, I nearly phoned in because I think one of the reasons that you're very happy at the moment, is due to the power of vulnerability.
Oh, yeah.
In that you've kind of come out with
things that you were not sure about,
yeah,
and your sexuality, and that gave you the freedom,
yeah,
of being happy.
Yeah.
And you can't be vulnerable and say something without there being a risk, uncertainty, and something emotional. And I thought, well, I'm going to phone up and say something
beautiful
and be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Knowing that,
yeah, but he's like bisexual, not an awful person.
Catherine, don't we like Julie? She's one of the, we haven't got many of the good ones left. Not after tonight, though, we've spoken to everyone. Got to keep her on side, even though she is a wrong'un.
But I just thought I would share the fact that I just felt so awful, and that, yeah. Well, there we go.
Well done. This is it. Showing. Here's the thing. I've said for a while. I've thought for a while that the way to be the best performer you can be is to be free from shame. Right. And actually think about it. Maybe it's the way to be the best human possible. But I don't quite know if that's true yet. But I certainly think for performers, they'd be free from shame. And you have to be able to say things in a public arena, I believe, that cause us shame and or embarrassment. And it's very, very freeing. And you have just done that, Julie. How do you feel as a direct result?
Like, I wish I'd never phoned up and said it.
There you go, you see. And that's
perfect.
That's exactly the way it should be. Thank you very much, Julie.
Can you pay the receptionist on the way out, please?
03444991000. I saw a number plate on the way in. SHITER.
Yeah.
That's shitter, right? SHITER.
Yeah.
That's a number plate. Mm-hmm. What is wrong with this world? Probably the last call of the night on this show. It's Nigel.
Can someone get me some water, please? Can someone get me some water, please? Ian.
I can't remember. Oh, it's Alan Partridge he's doing. What were...
Ian, get me some water, please.
Nigel. I wonder what Alan Partridge and Dracula would have to say to each other.
I don't know. What would they say to each other?
Okay, that's not how I was
going to go. Rainbow George. Rainbow George rang up to speak about.
Yes.
And can you please find those words for me on the internet? I looked
no.
at the last...
I'm not getting involved. I'm not getting involved because he sets these impossible challenges.
It was Rainbow Land, wasn't it? Rainbow Land. But he said something about Ian Dury, who's that famous singer in the Sex Pistols, wasn't he?
He was in Ian Dury and the Blockheads.
I thought he was in the Sex Pistols.
No, he wasn't.
Oh, anyway, he's famous.
Yeah.
And what was he to do with Rainbow George?
They were friends.
Did they know each other?
They were friends.
They were friends, but he still wants me to do this song, so I will come across it, won't I?
I don't know. I really don't know. I can't remember what he said. It's not going to be a number one song, Nigel. He's not a mover and shaker in the music industry.
He doesn't write songs for many people, then.
No.
Rainbow Joe.
So when he said you could get to number one, that was a lie.
I know.
I mean, it could get to number one. I could get to number one. So, but it wasn't true.
But he's a friendly chap, isn't he? He likes to talk and have a chat and that stuff. You know, like we do.
Very, very friendly.
Do you like Jason Statham, the actor?
Jason Statham?
No, Jason Statham.
Nicholas Boy, I love him.
The one, the muscly muscle man.
The muscly muscle man. Yeah. Do you like
him? My favourite kind.
How tall is he? Do you think?
I would say, Kat's going to Google it. I'm going to say 5'10". They're normally shorter than you think. He won't be over 6 foot.
He doesn't look very tall on that. I know, he doesn't look very big with a jacket on either, but he's quite muscular when he takes his jacket off.
5'10".
5'10", yeah. There you go.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.